The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback. He gives the ball. No, he doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen, you can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them, too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please.
Not yet. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. A big show coming up. It's Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. Summer has finally arrived in New England. It's supposed to get to the 90s this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
We got to get those ACs down from the...
A couple days last week, it was like at night, you couldn't even go outside. It was so cold, and
you
now it's going
to
be 90.
What?
The ACs down from the attic.
You don't have central air?
No, Paul, I'm not rich.
Oh, well, but to au contraire, you are.
No, I'm not.
You are rich.
I wish I was. But, yeah, it's going to be hot, so I got to get those ACs down from the attic. Well, today we got back from the Paul Perillo BU Baseball Hall of Fame Challenge, and we're going to talk about that a little later. We've got Eric, who took photos. And have you put those up on Twitter?
There are a few on Twitter, yep.
So if you go to eScal, you can see those. And we'll have video at some point up on the Facebook page for PFW in Progress. That's going to take a little bit longer.
And it's not pretty.
I guess we've got 20 minutes of raw footage that we have to edit down.
Oh, no. I was going to say, is someone editing that?
Yeah.
Make sure you get me getting hit.
So we'll talk about that little later. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398.
It's broken.
I'm really sorry about that.
0298.
I told you that was my biggest
298-0398.
0398. 298.
It's right there.
I can't see that.
508-298-0398.
Kevin, when you get a chance, can you move that sheet up higher so Fred can't complain?
So, guys, any Patriots
news? It's like Paul's
news?
Pitches. It's a little bit outside.
Yeah.
He's always complaining. He can't reach him. He can't see
no
him.
No news is good news on the Gronk front.
He's fine.
He's fine. We haven't heard anything bad yet. So
haven't heard anything good either.
Haven't heard anything good.
What else?
7 days?
What?
That was last Monday.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we should have known definitively by now whether he had an infection still or did not.
Right.
But we don't.
We don't.
So that's not good.
Well, I thought we knew definitively last week.
No.
Then.
No. We knew presumably.
Oh, okay. We haven't heard anything.
No news is bad news.
What else is going on in Patriots Nation?
NFL-wise, the draft has officially, for next year, been moved to May 8th through 10th.
May 8th through 10th. Well, that's not that big a change.
On the record, they're saying it's a scheduling conflict.
Yeah,
I'm assuming with Radio City. But internally, according to folks like Bert Breer, it's a quote-unquote trial to see if people like it.
Because if they want it to go back, the scheduling conflict will be cleared up.
The combine is going to be February 18th to 25th before the league year begins.
Okay, so they're changing that too.
No, before the league year begins, which is when it always...
Oh, so then what is the advantage? What is the trial then, moving it to May 8th?
It spreads it out.
So they didn't change anything else?
They didn't change anything
just
else.
The draft?
Without
just
any
draft.
Other changes, what's the trial?
They can't make the other changes, I don't believe. That's
because of NFLPA.
Right.
But my question is, what is the big change here? We're talking about 10 days difference?
Moves it into a different month. Was there? There was some talk that it was like a ratings week or something.
May is a sweeps month for television.
So that could maybe be that has something to do with it. I don't know. I don't. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, without the other changes in the calendar year, I don't see what the big deal is.
The draft is really only like a week difference, right?
Right.
Or maybe is it two?
The 29th or two. To the
10th.
To the 8th?
Yeah, so it's like 10 days or 11. Yeah. Whatever.
It's not even 2 weeks.
It must be 2 weeks. It must be Thursday to Thursday. They must be moving it, right?
I guess, yeah. So, all right, so let's say 2 weeks. Okay, big deal. Yeah.
I think it messes things up. I'm a little curious as how the phasing will go in rookie minicamp, OTAs. The benefit, I guess, is I think the players will be here stay here.
Right, all of them.
Like once
right.
you're drafted, you will come here for whatever. And
you don't have to leave.
You won't go
for
back
a couple of weeks.
You don't think
and graduate.
They'll move minicamps up a little bit?
Maybe
into
I don't
June?
Know.
Well, I
no,
think what they'll do is have rookie minicamp right after the draft, and then go work that right into OTAs rather than have
right.
the
well, no, I know that. But it just
what
seems
about
like
that big mandatory one in June? Do you think that might move at all?
I don't think
it can because
now
you
you're
still
not,
need,
now you're cutting into players' vacation time.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
I don't
their
think
last.
I don't think that'll move.
And I'm guessing you can't move that without the players. And I don't know why the players would say,
"Let's have less of a summer.
Yeah, let's
and more of a winter.
It even more." And,
you know,
I mean, the OTA that we saw was the 21st, correct?
The 20th started it, correct?
Right? And so I don't think the OTAs will change. What will change is rookie minicamp will be later, and then they'll just stay and start OTAs. My guess that's what the rookies will do. Instead of the rookies being here like 2 weeks ago and then going home or doing whatever they needed to do
right.
and then coming back for OTAs, I think you'll wind rookie minicamp into OTAs.
Right, but won't the veterans already be here?
Yeah, as part of the off-season program like they are always, April 15th. I think that will stay the same. That's my point.
But if the draft ends, if it's the 8th.
I don't think so. I don't think there'll be much change for the veterans.
Yeah.
If the draft ends the 8th. It's the 8th, 9th, 10th?
Yeah.
So the 10th is the Saturday.
Yes.
I assume.
So a week later, if they had rookie minicamp, would be the 15th.
15, 16. 17.
17. And then so you're saying.
On that Monday, whatever, they just roll it right into OTAs.
I guess.
So for the veterans, I don't think anything will really change.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that, Andy. Andy's giving me like the nod on his head.
Well,
I just see that.
I mean,
I have no idea if that's what they're going
to
do.
I think there's a benefit to the freshman thing of having
the
campus to yourself for a little bit to, not get overwhelmed.
Orientation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think they need to keep that.
Plus, there are some of them who would have to leave to go, ostensibly to go to their graduations.
Well,
right?
I think that's done. Well, you know what you'd You'd potentially have people graduating and drafted the same day. Wouldn't you?
Well, that's
possible.
That
May,
yeah, that,
yeah,
that,
that's true.
Yeah. That's a big graduation like weekend. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. See,
it's a good day, huh?
So maybe it is a scheduling conflict after all.
No. The scheduling conflict is with the last weekend in April at the Radio City.
Right, that's what I mean.
But no, it's BS.
They probably told Radio City, go ahead and schedule what you want.
We
want
to move this anyway, and you'll give us the perfect excuse.
It's some sort of Easter thing that's being held at
Plus,
Radio City.
Why couldn't they go back to the other
thing?
They've
never had an Easter conflict with the draft?
But Easter does fall on different days every year.
I know, but
and the draft has been around forever. You going to tell me it's never came up?
There's been many times where they haven't had rookie minicamp that particular weekend because it's Easter.
And I think Easter is like April 11th, I think, next year.
Well, it was
so it's not
this
even
this year. It was in March, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was ridiculously early.
It was very early.
It's it's always the first Sunday after the first full moon of spring. So that's why it changes all the time.
It's a lunar thing.
Easter, that is, not the draft.
But also, they used to have the draft at the other place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that? Madison Square
Madison
Garden?
Madison Square
Arena?
Garden, yep.
Or yeah. The old Felt Forum, right?
So you couldn't have that back? I mean, does that still exist?
I don't know.
It's not like the Radio City Music Hall is the only place that could potentially host a...
Right.
So you wanted
to move
it.
Clearly, this is what they want to do.
Right. You wanted to move it. And I think clearly they want to move...
Why?
They're going to move the other stuff, too. They just
they
need
to move
to
the
coerce
rest of the
or force the players into it.
Yeah.
Coerce. Good word.
All right. Anything else?
Convince?
That was NFL
okay,
news.
Convince.
Things are pretty quiet on the Patriots front, I guess, huh?
Yeah, for the most part.
I do.
No John Abraham?
We do have.
I don't know what he said, but evidently Brandon Spikes has tweeted.
But he didn't.
Oh, he didn't.
I went to his Twitter thing, and it still says transformation February 28th.
Did he
unless
delete
I missed.
Someone sent me a
yeah, I think they
tweet.
Were BSing.
Oh, okay.
Can't believe everything you read on Twitter, Paul.
That is true.
We do have four tickets to give away to tomorrow night's speaker series with Nate Solder at the hall at Patriot Place. So we'll figure out a way to give out four tickets. Basically, if you're around the area and you want them, just call up and we'll give them to you.
If you're interested in going, give us a call.
First caller who wants the tickets, you have to use them, though.
Yeah, use them, and you obviously need to be in the area.
You have to get a hit off Paul,
right,
too.
Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock in the evening at the Hall of Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Four tickets to the Nate Solder speaker series. And these are really good because it's just fans with the player in the theater there. And the fans, the player usually open up. Players open up more.
Right.
Because it's just fans, so it's usually a good time.
And he's a guy that's pretty tight-lipped, so if he opens up, you'll be getting something that very few people hear.
So first caller who actually is going to use the tickets, just call up and we'll give them to you.
Now, would you want to go to that, Fred?
Sure.
Oh, then I would have let you hit the ball then, if it's someone who had to get a hit
off. you want to talk about this? No, we did have it.
I
think Andy was correct in saying that the game of baseball lost.
So Fred, are we mailing these tickets?
No, we're going to leave them at Will Call.
Leave them at Will Call? Okay.
Because it's tomorrow night.
Okay, sounds good.
So we'll leave them at Will
Call. We got a call already? All right. Wow. Brian Moore will be so
We'll get him on the line.
It might be Brian Moore.
Get him on the line.
It's actually Brian. He just wanted to make it look good.
Yeah, Paul was out there pitching. We gave Paul a workout today.
Yeah, he broke a sweat.
Yeah. And
a hammy.
Maybe we throw 100 pitches.
I didn't look
broke
too
Andy's
good.
Broke Andy's knee, too.
I didn't look too good, although I did make contact, and I got it out of the infield.
Hold on a second.
Did the ball?
It did. You popped it up.
Yeah.
And it landed a few inches out of the infield.
All right. So there you go. And then
I don't want people to think you hit like a
Andy's first hit was
the best hit of the day was the very first swing.
No, it was his. No.
Kevin's.
I was throwing batting practice to him. Andy hit a good
first
pitch of the day. Andy hit a rope to left center.
Yeah, that was
a good hit. It was a line drive that might even have gotten up the gap in a regular.
That was the best hit of the day, and the grass was uncut, so it slowed it down a little bit.
I lost. There was good contact made. However infrequently, I didn't think there would be good contact made, and there was.
You threw some strikes, though.
I was a little bit upset at myself for lunging at some of the few pitches that were hittable, but,
the few pitches that were
Now, Paul, were you throwing your full stuff at Eric, can you
repeat what your favorite moment of was when I pitched to Fred, when I said,
"Oh, here comes the cookie."
Here comes the cookie. And I threw a belt-high meatball right down the middle of the plate.
Like I said,
swung and missed.
I didn't do too good at the pitches.
I was
that
literally
Paul, Paul scoffed at you with his glove. He said,
I was throwing,
"Here comes the cookie." No,
that less than batting practice. I was throwing less than batting practice.
Is that what that means?
That means down the middle.
Okay. Yeah. I thought he was scoffing
at Andy,
you.
To Andy, after I threw the first pitch and he hit it and I really got nervous, I started throwing the ball hard to Andy. I never had to do that to you. I did. I hit Andy in the knee. I feel awful about it.
He did. He wanted to quit afterwards. He was, I knew. And he starts walking off.
I actually thought it bounced and then hit your knee,
I wished it had.
Square in the knee.
Square on the knee. Yeah. We have the photographic
I fought one off.
Evidence.
Just so you know.
I fought one off that was going for my knee.
Just so
I
you know, when you're off. Trying to hit somebody, that's a good place to go. Because it's hard to get out of the way.
I think it's going
to
be sore tomorrow.
It's hard to get your knees out of the way.
That's true. Scott wants the tickets. So hey, Scott.
I'll put that plant. Plant that seed in
your
head.
Where are you calling from,
Scott?
I'm calling from Milford, actually, right now.
Okay, great. So what you do with Kevin is leave your full name, and we will leave four tickets at the door of the hall for tomorrow night. It's
leave
at 6
full
o'clock.
Name, social security number, credit
Excellent.
Card.
Excellent.
All right, great. Have a good time. Do you have any questions while you're on the line?
Yeah, I've emailed you guys for about a 10 years now, and I've never been able to actually speak with anybody. So nice to actually hear you guys in person.
Hi.
Is Eric in there today?
Yes, sir. He is.
Okay, Eric, how you doing?
I'm okay. What's up?
Okay. Very tentative, I can see why.
Well, because
he's worried he's going to get torn to shreds.
I have a feeling another shoe is about to drop here.
No shoe. I hadn't heard your voice, and I know how it gets, where you kind of get lost in the background, and then generally
then you start yelling at Fred.
John Rook's show, so you can talk and get a word in edgewise, but just curious.
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Hey, my question is, we got Rezai Dowling theoretically coming back. dead pan, right?
Right.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
We've got a linebacker. I can't remember his name because he's been out the last couple of years.
Dane Fletcher?
It must be Fletcher.
Fletcher?
Yeah, Fletcher. Dane Fletcher's been out. And, I look at these guys and I think to myself, they theoretically have potential. I never see it. I think both of these guys have been either hurt or mostly hurt the last couple of years. Do you see any of these guys actually making the team and making some sort of an impact? I guess making the team would be the relevant question here.
Well,
I think they're two very different players, even though you're right. They've both been hurt quite a bit.
I think Fletcher has made some plays.
Fletcher has been a surprise because he was an undrafted guy, defensive lineman, converted to linebacker, kind of opened our eyes. Well, he's kind of athletic. He can run around. He played quite a bit initially.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Dowling has been a starter essentially when he's been out there, which has been few and far between. But as a second round pick, I mean, the first pick of the second, who's the first pick of the second round?
You
know, essentially a first round pick. You have high expectations. That guy should be a core type player who plays
should be
minimum but, 5 years but, for you.
But,
and
but when we forecast the guys who need to step up in order for the Patriots to have a successful season 2013,
he's
we
irrelevant.
Haven't talked about either of these.
Well, you
guys.
Can't count on. I mean, because Fletcher, to me, his high side is backup, a rotational backup sub guy.
Yeah, a valuable
Rozai
backup.
Rozai Dowling should be a starting cornerback who you match up with big receivers.
Yeah.
That's who he should be. He isn't. Because A, he can't stay on the field, but B, even when he's been out there in practice and in games,
not
he looks
good.
Like a big, stiff guy.
Yeah. Well, he just hasn't had the chance to get in.
But
into
I'm
it,
not
you
even
know?
Sure he's
he might not have
fluid
what it
enough,
takes,
good
though.
Enough.
Well, that's the bottom line. No one's sure.
Right.
We don't know.
So
is
I don't think that
outside or inside.
Oh, he's outside. An outside guy. He's a big, stiff corner.
He's tall and lanky for inside.
I mean, his high side would be Antonio Cromartie. You know, I can play big receivers. You give me some little guys, I'm probably going to struggle because they're quicker than me and shiftier than me. But if you give me a big receiver who's trying to run down the field and out-muscle me, I should be able to cover him. Like, he should have been in the mix when Aqib Talib goes down. He should be out there, and you say, okay, he'll take Bolden. He can match up with Bolden. But, you know, he was on IR for 8 months at that point.
That was in January.
Right.
I would think, ideally, our two outside, I call them the felony cornerbacks. One of our felony cornerbacks should actually be moved inside, you know, now that the whole Florida thing is gone. And, you know, ideally, I think if you had a stronger cornerback to play the number two position, that would put Arrington on the street. In theory, I would think, would make the team a stronger team.
Well, you can't put him on the street. You just gave him $8 million.
Well, I know. But
I think the only guy, though, who would be able to move inside of the two would be Dennard.
Correct.
Right. I don't think Talib could operate as well on the inside. And I don't think you'd necessarily. I think physically, I think Dennard's a stronger corner than Dowling.
But he's smaller.
He's
shorter.
He's a little bit shorter, but he's stocky.
He's
got that Ty Law little.
He's a lot thicker
than
Dowling.
Yeah, I would much rather have him.
Have a problem if you had two tall receivers. I mean. He can get away when you have one tall receiver because you can switch. But I would think if you have two tall receivers that you're dealing with on the outside, he's going to be at a big disadvantage going forward.
But we're not to the point where we can worry about height. We're at the point where you're just going to worry about being in the ballpark of receivers.
I don't ever worry about that.
I mean, Darrell Revis isn't a giant, and no one ever said he can't cover anybody.
A lot of the best cornerbacks.
If you can cover, you can cover. You know, I know the big thing in the league has been for years these tall corners. You know, Cromartie might have kind of started it back six, 8 years ago, whenever that was, you had to have these big, tall corners because you had to match up with these big, tall receivers. Well, you know
the
what?
Problem is
most of the big,
play.
Tall corners stink.
Sean Smith.
Right.
He could be 6'4".
They're big
four,
and tall.
And
it's
good for the call.
In theory, it's great. But
it looks good on paper, but
never
it
let me get
really
his last name or anything.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Fred! Scott, you're going to have to call back if we still have
it's
a program.
It's not even a draft show and he's dropping
sorry
profanities.
Sorry about that, Scott. I forgot about the tickets.
Scott, you're going to have to give us a call back because Fred.
Call Kevin back and he'll get your name so we can get it over to the hall.
Yeah.
I got excited, though, because Rodolfo emailed in. Brandon Spikes did tweet.
Oh, how come I can't see
but
it?
But
it was
he deleted it.
Ah, see?
And it was nonsensical. It was like M-R-E-E space E with the little symbol over it and the number one, and then on the next line, a capital P. So it made no sense. He thinks it's a pocket tweet.
I was
going to
say, is there any chance there was either a drunk tweet or a pocket tweet?
Yeah. But he did it at like 8 in the morning, so I don't think it was, you know, a drunk
so
tweet.
Meals.
I wouldn't know.
It could be a hungover tweet.
Meals ready to eat. Isn't that what an MRE is for the military purposes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm very impressed.
Thanks, Paul.
In order to have a pocket tweet, you have to have Twitter open. No, you have to have the app.
You have to have the app open. Yeah, sure you do.
I mean, you've seen what he's working with. If that thing was moving around in there.
Oh.
It doesn't have a mind. Well, maybe it does. No, but seriously.
You've seen it, Fred.
In order to have a pocket tweet, you've seen it.
I haven't.
Eric and I can't speak from experience.
In order to have a pocket tweet, the app has to be open in your pocket.
Why?
So, because it. You can't do all those steps.
How do you know
well,
if something
phone,
hits
the,
it?
Yeah, the
in
phone
all
has to be
all
at
you have
least
to do is
active.
Have, But if the phone is open like this,
you finished a call, it's still active. You put it in your pocket. Something hits Twitter,
and something hits new. Boom. You know, like the square to put a new tweet. Easily could happen.
No, it can't.
Yes, it can.
I'm telling
you. Just so you know, you can say no, it can't, and I can say yes, it can, and there's no way to prove either way. So
what makes that any harder to do than tweeting?
If someone hasn't tweeted since February, I guarantee.
I didn't say
in May or June. It's going to happen.
I'm not guaranteeing that it happened.
I'm saying it's
possible.
If someone hasn't used Twitter since February, they're not going to pocket tweet in May.
No, he hasn't tweeted.
I'm saying they could. And yeah, we don't know if he's reading Twitter.
Okay, well that's a good point. If he's reading other people and he had it open, okay. But you know, if he's
I hear people stories about people sending texts by accident all the time.
Yeah,
what's the difference?
Oh no, because they just had the text app open.
So maybe
and they
he just had
pocket.
He was just looking at Twitter and put it in his
pocket.
Well,
that could be if he was looking at it.
This is an argument I didn't see coming.
There's also a chance that he tweeted what he meant to tweet and it was nonsensical.
That's why.
Read it again.
I'm not eliminating the possibility that he did it on purpose.
And the P makes sense because that's the start of POW.
True. Yeah.
Now we're saying things that Brandon Spikes normally does make sense.
Mike is in East Haven, Connecticut on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Mike.
Do you know Scott?
What's up, guys?
Mikey!
Oh, vandalism.
You know what? Listen here, guys. I'm all fired up right now. First of all, I'm fired up about the draft. And second of all, I'm fired up. You give four passes away to one person. You don't give two people an opportunity to go. You could split it up two and two.
Yeah.
We could probably get you two more if you need them.
What time can you get there?
We know Brian.
Now, Mike, would you really have driven up from East Haven, Connecticut?
100%. I have a wild animal that I would love to go.
Okay. Give your name to Kevin, and we'll give you two.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Now, stop begging. Really
now, get back to the draft, because you go to the draft every year.
I go to the draft every year. I'm all fired up. Honestly, I'm not really too worried about the actual timing of it, because it's actually going to be a little bit warmer out. It'll be more fun to stand out there on the streets. But, you know, what really sucks is the players have to wait a little bit longer to get into camp. It stinks for the coaches. It stinks for everybody. It just pushes everything back, and the person to blame is Goodell. They should have been more proactive and booked this ahead of time. Now, I understand Radio City, they have a business as well to do some bookings. I guess they have an Easter show that they actually booked in place of the NFL draft where it typically would take place. But that's what they're saying.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
See,
I don't think they wanted
think
to book
this,
it.
They have the draft every year.
That's what I'm saying.
Wouldn't Radio City, when this call comes in, say, oh, we want an Easter show? Isn't that the weekend of the
exactly.
draft? Something is fishy.
Some
here.
New director of communication.
Right. Somebody dropped the ball. Somebody didn't do their job.
Or they're not being honest.
The NFL didn't want it there. They didn't book it. They didn't tell anybody we're going to book it. They didn't want it. And this is their way to get out of it. Oh, there was a scheduling conflict.
Yeah,
sorry.
Because the draft pretty much falls in the same weekend every year.
Mm-hmm.
But what would the benefit be to push the draft back? Is what I'm trying to say.
They want to get it into
step one to a larger plan. Change of the
right. multifactorial.
Part of it is that they get such high ratings for the draft. They want it in a sweeps month so that it counts toward their ability to go to advertisers and raise their prices for the. Commercial space.
Kevin, can we get some ice for Paul?
He might die over here.
Everything was set up very
Where
nicely.
Where would I go?
Awesome that every month,
I don't
there was kind
else.
Of something going on. There was some kind of activity happening. And by pushing it back, there's more of a break.
Yeah, but they're going to push others. If they push the combine a little bit, it's going to then get it close. That 2 weeks you might pick up by moving the combine from the 20th of February to the next first weekend in March.
If they do that, that'd be awesome. But I read earlier online today, they said they're going to keep
this year.
This coming year.
Yeah, the reason why they can't.
The plans on the road is to change everything.
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
Because there's probably an event at RCA that they can't. I mean,
Lucas
Oil.
Yeah.
Well, but they will get what they want, and that'll be in March.
You know, the talk is they do want to move the opening of the season, the league year, to before the combine. That's their grand plan.
It's all about TV and interest. Right. And I can see in Goodell's head that he's thinking, I want a day like signing day in college football. I can see him picturing some special on NFL Network where, you know, Mike Wallace comes out and he's got a Patriots hat, a Dolphins hat, a Steelers hat, and there's like this made-for-TV drama, and I've taken my skills to South Beach, and he puts on a Dolphins hat because it was talked about, you know. This is what they want to be. They want to be a 12-month entertainment business as opposed to a 6-month football business.
And they should look
drop
at that.
Drop the pretenses and just
100%.
lock horns with Vince McMahon because that's what he wants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No
that's
question.
That's all he cares about.
Now, do you think this will help supplement free agency more? Because this will give free agents a little bit better of an opportunity to get into things because the draft prospects, they're going to get pushed back with their
I think it
that's
it,
debatable.
It's interesting because if you wait till the draft and didn't get what you wanted in the draft, if you had some sort of now you're kind of
to get.
But not only that, you're now getting into workouts and everything.
Yeah,
like
that's what I'm saying.
Whoever you wanted,
you had 2 weeks before anything started. Now you don't.
Yeah,
now there is a chance that that dead period after June mini camps could become more active with free agency. Who knows? You get the guys in here and.
Generally, we make much ado about nothing with this, and it'll just happen. And
I don't think it'll have much of an impact.
I don't think it'll be a huge impact, but it's curious to see what will happen.
Now, they are saying, like Greg Aiello tweeted out, that the combine is set for the February 18th to the 25th, and the league year will start on March 11th.
Well, that's earlier then.
No, it's not.
The combine.
No. That's February
it's
vacation.
It's always in there.
It's like the Wednesday to the Monday.
That's right. There's only 28 days in February. I'm sorry.
So
there have been times when it leaked into the first week of March.
Yeah, but only because of the way the calendar, calendar
works. It's always in that ballpark.
Yeah. It's generally the February vacation week,
mm-hmm.
and we always go on the Wednesday.
Yep.
So like halfway through that vacation week. That was the one thing I was kind of hoping is that they pushed it back so it got off of February vacation so you could actually use vacation.
You still will. It's going to happen.
No, I think it will.
You'll be in that, March 11th will be the combine.
Thanks, Mike.
Something.
Oh, no, Mike, did you give Kevin your name?
I get it now.
Okay. Mike, take him off.
Oh,
I don't know how to do that.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Obviously.
God, I hope we hear. Oh, I was hoping we'd hear Kevin talking to him off air. That's 153 Smith Street.
All right.
Did Scott call back?
I hope. I don't know.
If not, Vandalism gets 4 tickets to the Hall at Patriot Place.
Which second prize? 8 tickets.
This is a debacle. This is an absolute debacle.
All right.
Wait, I don't think we've given enough attention to this Take Ball Deep contest we had this morning.
Well, we've got 2 hours.
Oh, okay. We're going to sprinkle it in?
Got an hour and a half left.
Because Paul wants to tell you how he was treating you.
I think we already got into that.
Paul's saying he wasn't throwing as fast to me as Andy.
He said you couldn't hit him. You were an embarrassment.
I was telling you what I was throwing, and you couldn't hit it.
He thinks you embarrassed yourself out there.
I didn't say that.
You looked like a little kid. You couldn't catch up to the heat.
You want
to
know what I did
say? He almost hit you and hit the backstop, and then you reacted.
You want to know what I did say, Fred?
What?
To Andy as we were driving over?
What?
Fred absolutely cannot hit the ball hard off me.
Because I smell. Take two!
No, on the way
Paul
over.
Paul Perillo.
On the way over, I was deathly afraid of you hitting the ball.
That would have ruined his day if you could hit off him. And he says now there's no fear. You could never hit off him.
I want to go out there again then. That's it. First of all, as bad as I looked, I still made contact.
He was throwing.
I was throwing cupcakes to you.
Same to me as to you.
That's patently false. The only one I was throwing.
Just trying to get
the only one I was throwing hard to was Andy.
I know what he's doing.
I threw a fastball to Kevin. I thought he was going to poop himself, so I started just grooving him in there. And Kevin actually hit a bomb.
He did.
I mean, it would have been a can of corn to the right fielder, but I mean, he hit the ball pretty good there.
I was more proud of the line.
All I know is that the standards for the BU Baseball Hall of Fame must be very low.
What? So
20 tuck and smack.
25 years later, I'm supposed to still be throwing gas by you guys?
I mean, you know.
All I can tell you
is some semblance of greatness.
What he's telling you is you never saw him actually throw a pitch because you couldn't hit it, so he was feeling bad for you.
Well, we'll let the videos, know.
One of my favorite aspects of the video, which you'll see,
less than half speed to you.
Is when Fred complains about where the pitch is, saying, these things are all outside, and then he turns around to me behind the backstop going, am I right? Aren't they out there?
Well, he was playing to the camera.
No,
we'll just have to let the video, be
my favorite ones
are
the ones that I threw that were lit. And I was wild. Fred's right. I was
you had a little control issues.
I was a little outside because I was very, like I said.
You didn't want to hit us.
I was very conscious of hitting everybody.
the most underrated Fred moment was when we were collecting the balls up and getting them back to Paul, and Fred standing in the batter's box like this.
Oh, yeah. My God.
He's like Alan from The Hangover. Just the bat.
But there was one pitch in particular I threw to Fred that was like right down the middle of the plate.
I know.
Now, Haku and Erica behind the backstop, they're right behind the plate, so no one has a better view than them. And they both at the same time go, oh, Fred, that was right there.
No, you're right.
And Fred goes, it's outside.
That one pitch that was a strike, I should have hit.
Oh,
you're right. You're absolutely right.
Didn't stop Andy.
You're absolutely right.
Didn't stop
right.
Kevin.
You threw better pitches to him.
Right. No, you know what? I was working around you.
You were afraid to throw to me.
And this is how he wins
all
in all
sports.
All I can
tell you, I threw
he makes up the rules as he goes along.
I threw one pitch inside to Fred that legitimately the backstop was about 20, 25 feet behind home plate. The ball hit the backstop, and then Fred jumped back. And he wonders why I wasn't throwing as hard as I could.
Quick as a cat, a dead one.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I hit one foul that was aimed for my knee, you know.
I did throw.
There
a
were
couple
a couple that were.
I threw a couple inside. Yeah. I was a little bit erratic. What do you,
Fred?
I'm just saying,
Fred. Next time, I will bring the tee. Like when I have t-ball practice, if they miss a few times, we bring the tee up and let them.
No, I'll tell you how this one plans out. Someday we'll be stupid enough to do this again, and Fred will spend like 3 weeks at a batting cage.
He'll be going to like one of those baseball academies. I need you to get me so I can hit.
Fred will have one of those like Charlie Lau follow throughs with the one hand. He'll be like stroking line drives the other way.
I actually had
Fred. What happened?
It's one of the things I could do that all day.
Oh yeah.
If I know you couldn't, but if someone would pitch to me, I would hit all day.
I will say
I love doing it.
So why didn't you do it this morning?
It was right. It was a lot of fun.
I haven't done it in over 20 years.
And Fred's right. I was a little out of the strike zone.
You're 20 years younger than me.
It's not 20 years, but 1998.
You're 32,
the last time
right?
I hit. Yes. No.
How old are you?
30, we'll go with 30.
35. He's 35.
Oh,
you're older than
only nine years difference between Andy and I.
We're in the same decade.
All right, so you're 17 years younger than me.
Right.
17 years younger.
Right.
Right. Right.
So you're saying the last time you swung a bat, you were 15?
No, 98.
He said he's...
It was like a year or two after the end of high school. So 98, I'll go with.
So he was,
and the last
so
time,
15 years
the
ago.
Last time I threw the ball hard,
yeah, not when he right. was 15,
was 93.
So 15 years ago,
right?
Okay.
And I'm sure it's been at least that. How long? 20 years?
At
25
least.
Years?
And that 20 years ago was in a batting cage. And
yeah, like when was the last time you like legitimately you had
Babe Ruth baseball?
Yeah, so it's a long time.
Oh yeah, so mine would be 96 then because that was high school.
35 years ago.
That's a long time.
35 years ago, my friend.
And you threw a lot of pitches today, Paul.
Well, that's the thing. If we ever did it again, I would need a catcher.
And he's got to build up his strength.
And somebody to warm up the batters, probably, right?
But I would need a catcher, and I'd also, if we could get another pitcher. So, like, I could maybe, you know, pitch to a couple of batters and then...
Ice.
No, just take a...
I hear you.
I threw, like, little... How many...
So find somebody.
Look, I
70,
know...
70?
I
80, 80 pitches?
I know how out
I'd
of sorts...
I'd say at least 70.
Yeah, I know how without out of sorts it. I felt batting. I can only imagine how out of sorts Paul felt pitching.
That's like a whole game for some
and
major league pitchers,
really
right?
I was really concerned about my legs because my hamstring... On the third warm-up pitch I threw to Andy, my hamstring on my left leg, like, hurt. And all I could think of was, really, am I going to pull a hamstring doing this? That's why I said, "Oh, we got issues."
No, but I enjoy. I had fun.
Like I had
do
a lot
that all
of fun.
Day. I love.
I
doing
just
that.
Wish that I. I mean, Fred's right. I wish I legitimately could have thrown more strikes at will. But you know, take 25 years off and see what
and
happens.
And then I pitched.
Yes, that's true.
And you didn't throw any strikes.
Oh, I threw a couple. Come on, give me a break.
To watch pitch.
I threw a curveball that. Broke, you hit it, but it broke.
Just for the record, I was batting lefty at the time and crushed one down the first baseline. Crushed. And I'm not a lefty hitter. It was the hardest ball I hit.
Yeah, he hit it pretty good.
Hey. Right.
It was fun, though.
But I love it.
I love that. And I said to him, though, this is the kind of thing that would
illegal.
Make me go find like a league and then realize 3 games in, I don't really like baseball. I like just screwing around hitting.
Right.
You also were using a bat that I found it impossible not to hit the ball on the barrel of the bat. That bat
now he's
illegal.
Saying the bats. Oh, here we know, go. Illegal.
You hear where we go? Where are we going, Fred?
Paul, you were a BU baseball Hall of Fame baseball player.
Yeah,
I mean you should be better than us.
Well, that's not the tune you guys were.
But you said
were
we wouldn't even
earlier.
Be able to touch you.
Well,
on the first pitch, Andy
one,
took
one of
you
we
off.
Didn't.
I did touch you. I look bad doing it, but I did.
No, Fred, if you ever took a full swing. Once.
Yeah, that's a drop.
You would have done nothing but swing and
touch you.
I did touch you, and I look bad doing it.
You know, you know how you hit the ball?
Yeah.
You know when you,
I reached out and
you know
I hit
when, you
it.
Know when
it
you play, you know when you play tennis against Andy?
Yeah.
And you're hitting it so much harder than him, and all he's doing is blocking it back
right.
to you? That's how you were hitting the ball off me today. If you took a full swing, you wouldn't have touched it.
Well, I 35 years. I need a little
more. Now the age comes into. You're not that much older than
but
me.
The idea
pretty
is,
soon it's going to be when he was like 4.
The idea was to make contact.
Well, you didn't very often.
No, but I did.
You swung and missed more often than not.
Yes, that's true.
And you were like swinging bunts.
That's true.
Yeah. Like you were stopping.
That's true.
That's what I'm
kids
saying.
On
like,
my T-ball team do it because they don't know how to swing.
I guess I should have stipulated that on a full swing, you can't hit the ball.
He's calling you out. Ding.
I, I'm ready to go again. Let's
ding,
go.
Ding. He's not. He's grabbing things as he stands up.
Did you get that ice? You can put my Coke on your arm if you want.
I touched you.
And didn't look good doing it.
But we will have video up there for what it's worth. Should be funny.
Yes. I want to see me get hit.
That hurt.
It did hurt. It actually hurts more now than it did when it happened. Yeah. It's starting to get, like, sore.
The adrenaline at the time, kind of. But now it's...
He did feel bad, too. Like, it's like he wanted to walk off the mound.
I mean, he doesn't want to hit us.
I know, but it's a baseball. It's not like he hit me with a javelin.
In all seriousness, think about how much harder that makes it to pitch. You're legitimately...
You don't have a catcher. I know, it's hard.
There's no catcher when you're legitimately only trying to throw the ball in the outside corner, because I didn't want to throw the ball anywhere inside. That pitch that I threw to Andy, I probably missed where I was aiming by about 4 feet.
Right.
He's so cocky.
Christian's on the line. Hey, Christian.
You think that, you know,
hey,
after that
be humbling?
What's going on?
You guys should have a supplement to the video. You guys should have a video set up for when everybody walks into work tomorrow morning.
You don't have to wait for tomorrow morning.
All it took Fred was having to go pick up the baseballs that were in the outfield. He was limping so bad.
I was sitting at my cube, and Aaron was walking with Fred, and I couldn't tell it was Fred from far away because I couldn't see around the corner. I hear Aaron just go to somebody, are you limping? And I see Fred walk around the corner and go, yep, that's me.
Oh, I got the Achilles, but that hurt me before I started.
Did you miss a meeting?
Couple.
Because somebody we were talking with said, yeah, I was in a meeting that Fred's usually in, and a higher up in the organization said, where's Fred? And they said, I think he had a thing. He's taking swings out in Payson Field.
Hey, it's content.
That's right.
It's content.
I'm the vice president of content.
Plus, it's what do they call them in marketing? They go on like
bonding
team retreats.
Team building retreats.
It's just team building.
Yeah. Fred calls them orgies.
I call it is what it is. All right.
I had a quick question about the pushing back of the draft.
Yeah.
And you guys talked about this sort of being just the beginning of sort of like a whole overall larger reshaping of the offseason.
Yep.
Do you think it also points to an 18-game season?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it points to the Super Bowl being on that President's Day weekend, the second weekend in February. Yeah, I think this is going to go, I don't know how quickly this whole thing, their little grand scheme, they can manipulate it, but I think they're opening the opportunities for moving the combine, stretching out that offseason, stretching out the season, extra games, the holiday weekend, Super Bowl, everything just kind of conveniently falls into place. I mean, they've been talking about this for years because they talked to Daytona, because Daytona was sort of involved. They were going to kind of infringe upon Daytona, so they had Daytona move or warned them they could move or something in the Daytona 500 because they didn't want the Super Bowl of racing to be on the same day as the Super Bowl of Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is I don't know how quickly this will come together, but this is a big plan of getting it all kind of rejiggered.
That'd be an incredible day for sports fans, though, if the NASCAR during the day and the Super Bowl at night.
Yeah, but
I know the NFL doesn't want to take away from all your pregame
coverage. And they
don't. And
NASCAR
doesn't want it
because they would lose.
They'd feel like second fiddle.
Because the Super Bowl is bigger than the Super Bowl of auto racing.
Right.
Yeah, they're trying to make it a holiday, and that's ultimately what...
And I'm fine with it. I'm fine with having the next day off after the Super Bowl. No problem to me.
I think that's very cool. I really do. I think that's, as a fan, to have that next day off, it's great.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
Yeah.
You know, it'll probably come with it. They'll probably talk us into, for ratings, they have to push the game back. Can't start at 6:18 anymore. We'll probably have to start at 8 o'clock.
Prime time. Yeah, no, that...
I hadn't thought of that. Now they just ruined it.
And would they expand the rosters?
That was being discussed. I don't know how that was being discussed as an 18-game.
If they,
back and
if they had 18 games, I think they would.
But there's going to be other issues that could be involved here. HGH testing could be part of a chip that goes one way, there's definite negotiation. Even though they're locked into a nice labor comfort for the next decade, there's a lot of back and forth that's going to take place on some of these decisions.
Sure.
Well, what about salaries, too? Doesn't that come into play?
Yep. All of it. Salary caps, percentages.
I want no part of any of
this. Well, and that's what the league is telling these players. Is, look, if you really want a boost, you got to give us those extra two games.
Right. Because that'll boost us.
Right. We'll get more from the networks.
You know who's going to get a bigger boost? The owners.
Right.
Yep.
Owners own and players rent.
Yep.
All right,
well,
Christian.
Good to hear Paul was throwing heat. Way to go, Paul.
He looked okay out there. I mean, he didn't embarrass himself.
I didn't have it.
Not like Fred did.
All right. Andy's just still mad because I beat him in the other three schools.
Andy's trolling because he hit the ball hard.
He did. He had a good hit. All right, let's take a quick break. Food's here. We'll be right back.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York,
and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing? Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I got her part. Knows it more.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime.
You still paint?
I would have had to have been about four at the discos.
Attached
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller coaster of love.
All right. Melvin from Tennessee writes in at webradio at patriots.com. Ninth-time emailer, five-time WCW champion.
Woo!
First of all, is everyone okay? Anyone need surgery? You're fine, says Fred. second point, who would win in a game of basketball between you guys? Andy and Eric versus Fred and Paul. Who wins?
Fred and Paul.
You think so?
Eric would hold me back.
Oh.
just, now
he
that,
just shakes his head. He just...
That's ridiculous. Now, basketball, I did play some. So I would take part in that challenge.
Sounds like we got the next one.
It would have to be a
if
game.
If you guys decided to run,
yeah,
you could beat
it. It would have to be a game to like 11, full court, and we'd have
two?
To shoot very well.
Right. Right.
No,
right.
But if
we're not play
if
full there was court,
no, but if there was any length to the game,
yeah.
They would run out of gas.
Right. I agree with that.
We would have to shoot very well and get the game over quick.
Right. Yep.
Cuz if the game went beyond like 10, 15 minutes, I don't think it would.
And
end
do
well
like
for
Fred
us.
Did to me, take advantage of my overzealousness, you know, pump fakes where I jump up and then he just blazes.
I see his shoes at my eyes and then I shoot.
Yeah.
Scott writes in, he says, Fred, any chance you were in Bristol, Rhode Island this Monday? If not, there's a man that looks just like you walking around in a Patriots polo. If it was, how was the rap? I was sitting right next to you when you ordered. Love the show. Keep up the great work. I've been listening since 07, and it's amazing how far this show has come and how groundbreaking it really has proven to be. I was not in Bristol, Rhode Island yesterday. I was at
you
home
have a doppelganger.
Trying to get my pool back in somewhat of good shape.
Usable shape.
Yeah.
I got recognized at the mall when kids were playing in like this little playpen court thing, and I was leaning, and the guy goes, he's leaning next to me, and he just goes, you got a good show. And I go, what?
You should say, which one?
And I go, what? He goes, your TV show. And another thing, I went with my mother to this event. She had like her 50th anniversary alumni or something.
Is Christian with
and
you?
And I went, what? Oh, that wasn't funny. And somebody goes, hey, I know you. You're on TV with that Rosillo guy. You give that Rosillo guy hell again. I like that or something. So you're Rosillo, by the way.
I was at a lacrosse fundraiser last week, and a guy goes, yeah, you know, every once in a while, like I'm flipping around and, you know, I catch a show. And so I assume he was talking about the TV show, PFW. And he goes, you know, it's great. You guys, you know, you just sit around and every once in a while you throw out an F-bomb. And I'm like, okay, so he must not be talking about
he's
this show.
Technologically advanced.
So he's flipping around the computer?
Well, aren't we on IP radio? You can have stations and presets
you could
and
be
stuff
talking
on that.
About that. Yeah.
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 Well, so. We're getting there, Fred. Baby steps, but if people are flipping around and hitting our show on that's good. We're going in the right direction. Maybe another 20 years and we'll be there.
Kevin, did the guys call back for his four tickets?
Yep, they're all set.
Okay, great.
I emailed Brian and put
great.
You on the email.
Thank you.
And you got the extra two, right?
First guy was four, second guy was two.
Right.
So
okay, good.
Fred's on that email.
So that's for the Nate Solder Speaker tomorrow Series night. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at the
we'll
hall.
We'll call.
Get your questions ready.
That'll be good.
Good questions.
Brian in Somerville writes in, on Fox's show MasterChef, there's a guy named Eddie who says he played for the Patriots when they went to the Super Bowl. Who was this guy? Well, which Super Bowl? Could be any 85, 96, 01.
What's Eddie's last name?
Yeah, we'd need more information on that.
Mark Edwards?
I don't know, but was there an Eddie of any Super Bowl? Paul would know.
I don't know.
Ed Reynolds?
Yeah.
Ed Ellis? Was he on any
Ed
of the Super Bowl
teams? Ed Ellis? But did anyone go by
Ed? No, I don't think Ed Ellis.
Super Bowls.
So I don't think Ed
like
Ellis would have been on any of them.
Was anybody named Eddie, though? Did anybody go by Eddie?
I don't know.
And then you got to get to guys that claim they were, like...
practice squad.
Yeah, like Tom Ashworth in the first one. He wasn't at... I mean, he was jumping up and down on the sideline in street clothes. He was at the Super Bowl with the Patriots, so...
Let's see. Joe writes...
Can we get into the Dobson thing when you...
Oh, Aaron Dobson?
Sure. Just a little... Shalice Manza-Young retweeted a tweet from the NFL Network this morning. Apparently, she appeared on whatever that morning show is. And
NFL AM.
NFL AM. And the tweet promoting her appearance said, you know, Shalice Manza-Young joins us, talks about Brady and Amendola relationship, and at Aaron Dobson, whatever, his Twitter handle, as good as Larry Fitzgerald or something. And I retweeted it and said, is somebody actually making this borderline ridiculous comparison? And apparently Greg Cosell, who most people are aware of, he's a producer for NFL films, but you know, has kind of created this little niche industry of himself as a draft analyst, watches a lot of tape. Apparently height, speed, hands or something, he's made the comparison of Aaron Dobson and Larry Fitzgerald. So
I'll bet you there's a lot of guys, if you just look at their combine numbers, were similar to Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I just,
that means nothing.
I just don't understand why you would make that comparison. Like, unless you, I mean, if you're Greg Cosell and you think this was one of the great steals in NFL draft history, this guy is a stud, there's no questions asked, okay. But don't just tell me he has some characteristics and bring up a name like Larry Fitzgerald, because you're creating a perception.
Yeah, it's not fair to
now,
Dobson.
Now, if he's great... Okay, Greg Cosell, you were right. The Patriots were wrong. Every other team in the NFL was wrong when they passed on him for three rounds. Because Larry Fitzgerald was a stud at Pittsburgh.
Right.
And he was a stud draft pick and a stud receiver. You're putting that kind of expectation and comparison next to Aaron Dobson, who was a third-round pick? Third-round pick. And, you know, not a big name coming out of college like Fitzgerald was. I mean, Fitzgerald was a name immediately in college.
He was blue chip.
Like, he, as a freshman, put up huge numbers.
He was a second-round pick.
Who?
Dobson was the second-round pick. Of the second-round pick.
So second-round
pick. Oh, that's true. That's right.
But I don't care. Larry Fitzgerald was, like, well-known immediately when he hit the
campus. There's no one in this draft that should be compared to Larry Fitzgerald.
Correct. You are, unless you believe it.
Right.
I'm okay if Greg Cosell thinks this guy was a great steal. He is going to be Larry. Okay. That's fine. But to me, that's different than taking certain characteristics and I mean, that'd be like saying, you know, Brandon Bolden, he's got the power of Bo Jackson or something. Like, it's just ridiculous. Unless you believe he's great, don't give me comparisons to great running backs.
Yeah.
It's just, he has great power. I think power is his strength.
Look, as Patriots fans, we'd love it to be true, but.
Well, they've been lusting after the real Larry Fitzgerald for years. Now maybe they got the next.
But this is the only guy I've ever heard make that comparison. Have you heard anyone else do that?
No.
No one.
I hadn't heard him do that until today.
You know, so I think it's a stretch.
Right? I think it'd be great. I mean, as a Patriots fan, if you're going to tell me that he has the okay, good. I don't see it personally, but.
Is it impossible for a guy who it wasn't really on the radar as a blue chipper to become a great player? No, it happens a lot. But
he starts with one thing. Everybody says he has great hands. Oh, he didn't have a drop. The other part is get open, as Paul said. Well, some of us have our doubts about his ability to get open. That maybe he was too covered in college. So we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he physically has some ability. I think he runs reasonably well. I think he has really good hands, strong hands. But when I watched him, and admittedly, it was a small sample, small college tape that we watched. He seemed like he was in traffic a lot, not open. A lot of times we see some, you know, go routes with these guys, and you know, Tavon Austin, you see him run a little crossing route and he just runs away from everybody. He's like in the clear. You don't see that with Aaron Dobson a lot. And to me, you're in Conference USA and you're not wide open, what are you going to do in the NFL? My concern. That doesn't mean I think he's stiff. He has no ability.
There's a lot of
second round. That's about right.
And there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that sometimes we don't take into consideration when we watch these tapes. For example, Dobson may have been the prime, you know, thing to stop for the other team. So maybe they had him double covered all day. Who knows?
But even then, even with great players like
Larry Fitzgerald,
Julio Jones was wide open at times in college. You know, you watch him and you say, how do you let Julio? Well, because he's Julio Jones. And even if you double him and you're doing this, you're doing that, he gets open. I just have my concerns about that. You know, Bill Belichick, get open and catch the football. Well, you know.
Yeah, and again, sure get open. Doesn't mean that Aaron Dobson can't be a good player. Doesn't mean that he doesn't develop. Maybe he's developing as a route runner, you know, and he's learning some of this stuff. And, You know, he's a guy legitimately that could be better in the pros than he was in college. Maybe the quarterback was part of that, you know, at Marshall. It wasn't exactly Alabama that he played at. Maybe the other parts of the offense weren't quite as good either. So there's a lot of things that, could factor in. I do think physically he has ability. I think Boyce does too, Josh Boyce. And I'm looking forward to seeing him when he's healthy out on the field for some of these OTAs, which we get another shot at tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Joe writes, and you guys were talking about the Super Bowl and Pro Bowl. One thing I think they should do, along with what Eric said, is to bring back the little games they had, like the QB Challenge, and I think they should just have the Super Bowl only in Hawaii and maybe just get rid of the Pro Bowl. Enough with trying to get the Super Bowl in all these stupid cities like New York, I mean Jersey. Just stop all the BS and have the Super Bowl in Hawaii and make a big week or so for it.
Yeah, well, that stadium is not good enough.
They would have to refurbish Aloha Stadium big time.
And I don't think they would want to do that either. I don't think you'd want to make the fans go to Hawaii.
That's an expensive flight.
Yeah.
That's a real expensive flight.
I mean, yes, it is, but let's be honest here. The fans who actually end up going to the Super Bowl, most of them have the pockets to do that.
Yeah, but you're talking about the people that are...
No, you're right. I'm just saying it's...
Think about the amount of people that go to the Super Bowl without actually attending the game.
That's a good point.
You know, you're going to eliminate a lot of that.
Just to be there for around
I mean, there's no way the amount of people that were in Indianapolis, all of them were at the game.
There's no one flying to Hawaii to go to NFL experience.
That's true. I'm just saying, as far as the cost of getting there, the people who normally go to the game itself can afford that.
And I think a lot, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I think a lot of people go to the Super Bowl now without tickets.
Right.
And they say to themselves, I'm going to try my best to get some reasonably priced seats. And if I don't, I'll have the week of experience and, you know, it's a big, you know, it's for a bunch of guys. It's a, you know, it's a drunk fest and you spend the week in whatever the city is. I don't think a lot of people would do that to Hawaii. You know, it's an intriguing idea, but I just don't think they have the,
I think the place,
the ability
if you're
going to
do it one place every year, it's either New Orleans or Vegas.
Vegas. I think that would be a fantastic idea. It would never happen because, you know, gambling is illegal at Bushwood and we can't, condone that sort of behavior.
Interesting story just came across the Twitter, the Pro Football Talk and TMZ.
Yes.
Apparently, Keyshawn Johnson and Justin Bieber are neighbors.
Yeah.
And Keyshawn's been feuding with Bieber because he drives his Ferrari too fast.
Is he the one who keeps calling the cops on him?
Well, last night he called the cops on Bieber and then followed him to his house and tried to get to him, but Bieber went inside and wouldn't come out because I guess Bieber's a real a-hole.
Well, he's had several... these like citations for
and Florio writes probably a good call
driving.
By him because Keyshawn would kick his ass.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Well, I think most kids over the age of six would kick his ass.
Well, plus Keyshawn's probably lucky too because that sounds like it's going to get into a bad place for him.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like he's going to end up doing something and get himself in trouble.
Bieber got booed at the Billboard Awards. He won an award.
Yeah,
and
I heard that
they booed him. He had these MC Hammer pants on, and he did a performance, and somebody tweeted, it looked like one of those black baggies you pick up dog poop with.
I've always thought Bieber was weird. And
I thought he was talented, but he's turned into a punk.
Oh, he's definitely talented.
Yeah.
But he's always seemed like a DB to me.
He's
and now he's going
hard
work.
To
I think
be
he is.
A bad boy. He's a little punk.
Well, and it's what they, I mean, when they're young and famous, they always turn out poorly.
Think about Amanda
Bynes, Miley Cyrus. This lasts like 2 weeks.
The Amanda Bynes thing to me is stunning.
Who?
Not a lot of them.
Who? Name three.
I'll name millions of them.
What, child stars that don't go bad?
Oh, child stars that go bad? There's plenty that haven't
what
gone
did you,
bad.
What did you
what
I
did
thought
you think
every
he was
kid
talking
turned
about?
Out bad?
No, every star turns out bad.
No. Every child star virtually
there is a bad, I mean, it's tough.
Huge problem.
It's for children.
Think about being 19 years old and having accomplished already what Bieber has.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't have any use for him. I'm not, as questionable as my music taste is, that's not really mine.
See, I would think you'd like that.
Not really.
You don't like Minute,
couple.
Hour, that one that's on now? I find it catchy.
No, I really don't. But you imagine driving around in like these souped-up sports cars when you were like 19 years old. You'd be driving 100 miles an hour, too, because that's just what kids do. And this is, you know...
I did, and I wasn't a star.
Andy and I always joke around about...
No, but you were a DB.
But we always joke around about the players, and we listen to them talk about, you know, like... these knockdown drag-out fights over Madden or what video game they're playing at, or three of them are tweeting each other because they can't decide what movie they're going to go to that
right.
night. And all of a sudden, it's World War III. They're kids. They're big
with
kids with money.
Right.
You know, they're just like we were when we were kids, except for we didn't have any money.
But
well,
these,
Fred did. He grew
these
up on,
are
he
even
grew,
Donny
he grew up
Osmond
on the Tony Cape.
Wasn't so bad.
Fred.
You remember Donny Osmond?
Yeah, he was also a Mormon. I mean, it's
okay.
a little bit different.
All right.
I mean, for every Donny Osmond, you know how many we can come up with that went the other way?
Most of them.
Most right.
I will say, I think
way.
Christina Aguilera is relatively normal
yeah,
and always has been.
Just look at this. Yeah, she's relatively
so we
normal.
From our listeners,
every
child
one of her songs
stars,
is like destroying her father.
No, I know,
child
but like
stars
compared to Britney and Amanda Bynes.
Ron
and,
Howard is a very
Ron
huge
Howard is
exception
a,
to the
a very
rule.
Big exception.
A huge exception. He's been... From the moment he was born, basically, he's been famous.
Right.
He's been
all right, so
wildly successful.
We
but it's a little harder, I think,
who did not
modern.
Turn out bad, who did not turn
what
out
bad.
We're looking for... she threw a bong out the window.
The cops came into her house, and they saw her bong on the table. She ran over and threw it out the
window.
Threw it
out the window over
an
apartment building.
Was never there or something. And then she had this massive wig that she wore
you
out.
You know what's funny, too, is when like a couple
cuckoo,
years ago,
cuckoo.
She retired. Right, for, she decided she wasn't doing any more acting. And I actually thought she was doing that. Because
to get more acting jobs?
Well, no, because I thought she was probably wanting to get out of the business because she was, yeah, I'm a good person. I don't want, I don't like where this is going.
Now we know.
And
just
now
needed
it's
more
the
time
opposite.
To
she
take
just had
drugs.
A breakdown.
Right.
It's unbelievable. And I she was one of mine. You can make fun of me on Amanda Bynes. I liked her. I did. I thought she was talented. No, as an actress, I'm saying. She's just a little kid.
I know. That's why we were uncomfortable.
No, well, I mean, Fred's looking at me like... I don't know who I'm.
You can't admit that on the air.
You know what Fred's looking at me like? I have no idea. Fred's saying, I have no idea who Amanda Bynes is. That's
no,
what Fred's
she
looking
had
at
that
me like.
Amanda show on Nickelodeon, right?
I don't know that show. Maybe
I don't
she
believe
I'm not
it was called
she,
Amanda.
I'm not saying she didn't, but I don't. I mean, she's been in movies.
And she had a show, but
she
I don't
was
think
on
it was
Easy A. She
yeah.
was in.
I thought
she's
it,
pretty. She was pretty funny. I thought she was talented. It had nothing to do with. She was
Miley Cyrus. How do you like her?
See, I think Miley Cyrus is
Hillary Duff.
I thought she was talented.
That's Selena Gomez.
I don't really know that show. What's that Wizard? Because the kids are starting to watch
that
Wizards of Waverly Place.
I used to get my son
see,
so upset.
I
he'd be on playing Xbox with the headphones and the speaker, and I'd open the door. Hey, Connor, Hillary Duff's on TV. And he gets so mad because you know his friends. Would
remind me off the air to tell you a story about that. I got Will yesterday. I didn't know he was online. He was mad.
Oh.
He was mad. I said something to him, and he comes over. Dad, why did you say that I'm online?
The guy with the white van was laughing at me.
Oh, Fred.
Oh. You don't know who's on that Xbox.
Well, part. I know who he's on with because I can see the people that he's with.
The guy in the All right.
That's why I don't let him use the headphones.
Web radio.
I want to hear who he's talking to.
Webradio at patriots.com,
508-298-0398. My brother calls him.
Is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Zach is in Florida. Hey, Zach.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Yeah, I did have a question for you guys. How do you think that Michael Jenkins is going to do on the Patriots?
He'll be slow to catch up. No. He was on the show. Real nice guy. These guys weren't impressed with how he was catching the ball in camp.
Well,
in the
fact that he wasn't.
Yeah. Right. And it's a limited sampling, you know, an hour outside.
One practice.
And because I had told these guys, I think there's a chance he could turn into a Brady favorite just because his reputation is just kind of a consistent veteran, you know, not flashy, not fast. They call him molasses, but can run a route, be where he's supposed to be, catch the football. And if he is that, then I think Brady will really like him because he's going to need people he can trust in this little wide receiver redo. The problem was he didn't catch the football when we saw him out there.
Yeah, Zach, he'll have every opportunity to make this team because they just do not simply have – a tremendous amount of depth at that position. So he's going to have a did he hang up on us?
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah, he's going to have a shot. And I agree with what Fred and Andy said about his shortcomings, but I do think that he has some experience, and that's going to serve him well. And I do think he will be one of those guys that Brady says, I know where he's going to be.
Professional.
Yeah.
He's
I know what he's going to do.
Receiver.
I know what I'm going to get out of him, and I'll take him over – you know, maybe a more gifted player, younger player.
Well,
who's
LaVell Hawkins. We've heard – bad things about him. His work ethic, consistency, his maturity, all of those things are question marks with him. That doesn't sound like a guy Brady's going to make a quick relationship with. Michael Jenkins sounds like a guy Brady could make a quick relationship with.
Good size.
Even though they got the Ohio State Michigan thing, but maybe that's like a
that might help.
A bonding rivalry thing.
It's like one of our emailers, one of our SPFW guys, I think last week said, you know, why don't they just sort of reverse him and Aaron Hernandez's role? You know, like almost use Jenkins as more of a tight end type. And let her, and, you know, stop the charade and just put Hernandez out wide and let him be a wide receiver.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure. I don't think it's that simple, but I could see something like that happening.
Yeah, because Aaron Hernandez could play receiver, running back. He could play multiple.
Well,
I just don't think he'd be as effective if he was lining up wide all the time and getting covered by cornerbacks.
I also don't think you could ask Michael Jenkins to line up in the backfield and do some of the things Hernandez.
Oh, no, no.
So you can't just interchange the two.
No, right. You are correct.
And Hernandez would lose something if you cut down on his versatility and tried to just say, oh, I'm a receiver. Well, no, you're not as good anymore. Now they have a corner just lined up on you at all times, and we lose a matchup. Whereas if we motion you, you're out of the backfield, you're in line, you're
a wing.
That's
how we get linebackers on him and safeties on him that aren't ill-equipped to handle him.
Well, do you think that Aaron Donson is going to get Brady's trust or not?
No idea. He took a good first step the other day. I mean, A, he's on the field. Boyce isn't. That's a great first step. And B, he caught a few passes. You know, that's baby steps.
We won't know that until, you know, at least preseason when...
Middle of August, Tom Brady said. I'll know by
when
the middle of August
trying to stop Dobson,
who I can trust with, who I'm comfortable with. He said that the other day on Dennis and Callahan. So mid-August, we should know.
All right, Zach, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Zach.
Let's go to
what if we don't, by
Daniel
mid-August.
In Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, Daniel.
Mid-August-ish.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Are you on the tarmac?
No, can you not hear me? Hold on, let me get
I can hear you.
Hold on. Am I clear to y'all, or do you need
yeah,
me to
no, we can hear you.
It sounded like you said y'all.
Hey, Daniel, was Charlotte where they had the Coca-Cola race the other day where that cable
and
fell?
And I was right.
That
the SkyCam finally fell. I've been telling you for years that's going to fall, and it fell.
That's
was
the SkyCam?
Yeah, it was the flying camera thing. I told you that was a dangerous thing.
First thing I thought of, Andy, when I saw the highlights of that.
Yeah, yes, sir. Charlotte is where the race is, and I will never go to that miserable, miserable race. But either way.
Okay.
Wow.
Not
with the Chamber of Commerce, huh?
It's like 6 hours long. It's god awful.
Well, yeah, it's 600 miles.
Got a couple questions for y'all. Number one, and I want you each to answer it, if you don't mind, because I'd like to get everybody's opinion. When it
Even
comes
Eric?
To Dante Hightower, I thought he was pretty good last year rushing the passer when he had the opportunity. So I guess my question to y'all is, what do you think is the best defensive scheme for him to be able to do that more? You know what I mean? I mean, obviously he's going to be in situations where he can't, but if he's really good at it, I mean, how do they get him in the position to do that more?
See, that I have a little problem with your premise. Because I'm not sure I was impressed with how he rushed the passer.
I kind of agree with you. I mean, he had some moments where he got in the backfield.
Yeah.
Flashes. But he wasn't doing it on a consistent enough basis where I'm like, boy, this guy needs to be on the outside.
That one was the one he got hurt on.
It's as a blitzer. Yeah. I think he's better as... Well,
I didn't hang up on him.
He had enough of us.
Didn't like the answer.
Daniel, I thought that he... had some success as a blitzer. I think that he has sort of a knack for that. And we've seen periodically with Mayo and Spikes as well. But I think that when they get if they get accounted for,
right?
I'm not sure any of those guys are gifted pass rushers. Like Chandler Jones can get, you know, the tackle one-on-one, he can beat him. And I've seen Ninkovich do that too.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really seen the linebackers really, you know, I think what he was going for there is why not go with a 3-4 and have him be I don't think that's Dante Hightower's forte.
I don't think it'd be a strength,
as a pass rusher. I think his versatility.
Yeah, because I mean, in the 3-4,
so
you get
an inside backer in a 3-4. You think?
I think you could play.
I think you could play all four spots.
I think you could play any of them.
Where's he best suited?
Well, I think on the outside.
Andy's going to get mad if you put him on the inside. This is what we were talking.
I don't
want
to waste him. You got Mike Vrabel in there. You got Adalys Thomas in there. Why we have this history of wasting guys who can rush the passer by putting him in inside linebacker? Don't scratch your chin.
See, I would rather have the guys that are on the ends now than Hightower as pass rushers. But Andy, I mean, I understand Andy's point, and this is what we.
Well, that's the problem with the 3-4. I have no place to put Chandler Jones. If you go to a 3-4, I don't know where Jones plays.
Right.
I mean, he's not big enough to be an end like Richard Seymour and just get beat up by tackles.
He's too big to be outside linebacker.
Gangly to be an outside linebacker. I That's why I don't. Your best defender is a 4-3 defender, in my opinion. So everything you do from now on, if Chandler Jones is the guy you think he is based on a 4-3 defense, in my opinion.
Yep.
And but Hightower, to me, is what Paul said. He's not a lineup, you're the tackle, and I'm going to beat you to the quarterback. He's a not accounted for or, you know, slide wrong.
But don't you think, like, in a 3-4, that other inside linebacker, you can do a lot out of that position?
You can do stuff, but no. I want my guys on the edge. I said it last week with whoever else we were talking about. Maybe it was Hightower we were talking about last week.
No, we
weren't. I want my guys on the edge. If they can play the edge, they can be more impactful on the edge.
And if you,
that's why Mike Vrabel sulked when he played inside linebacker.
Yeah. If he was inside, though, Fred, and you're sending him a lot, you need to have other guys dropping. And, again, it gets back to what Andy's talking about. Do you want Chandler Jones doing that? Mm-hmm. I mean, Ninkovich, I think, can do that a little bit. I think he's shown some success as a pass cover guy.
Oh, yeah. Ninkovich could be anything.
But Chandler Jones, I'm not so sure that's you know, his strength.
Especially, he's bulking up. But he's at 270. He's not at 290 or 300. I mean, he's still a ways away from being a 3-4 end.
Yeah, and the whole
Daniel's
thing.
Daniel's back. He dropped off.
Oh, okay.
Was that
hey
you?
Hey, guys. It was probably me. I'm kind of driving through no man's land in South Carolina. Signals kind of back and forth.
Okay.
Those cops.
Well, this call started in North Carolina.
Yeah, well, you
that's
know,
impressive.
I'm a traveling man. But either way, thanks for your feedback on Hightower. I think that's interesting. I kind of think about Hightower, the way I do Hernandez, is that he's kind of a joker and he can do multiple things regardless of where he's lined up. But my second question is about the wide receivers, and I would say this is just my opinion that obviously Slater, because special teams, Amendola, Boyce, and Dobson are locks. You know, and right now it's very, very early. We don't know much about the undrafted guys, and like Andy said, I think a lot of it has to do with Brady, whether I like it or not, the way Brady's propensity to write people off from the get-go, I think it's kind of hard to tell. But if you guys had to give your assessment right now, like I said, I know there's a long way to go. Who would you guys think sticks, and kind of what do you think we're looking at numbers-wise, personnel on the wide receiver position? I'll hang up, and
okay.
Thanks for all you guys do. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Daniel. Now, I agree with
How
him.
How does he hear us if he hangs up?
When he called back, he was iPhone. On hold.
He's
probably.
Got his iPhone in his auxiliary. He's listening to us live.
I think there was an extra area in there.
Yeah.
I agree with him about Boyce and Dobson being locks. But,
I don't.
Well, locks to be with the organization.
Exactly. Yeah. Not locks
for the roster.
Cut. Locks
right.
not to be
yes.
cut.
That doesn't
Boyce
mean you're
could
on
end
the
up
53.
On IR. You know,
or Dobson.
Or Dobson. You know,
even though he's Larry Fitzgerald, and I don't know why you'd put Larry Fitzgerald on
right.
IR.
Right. So, but they're locks not to be cut.
Correct.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But as now, like he said, anything can change. I would put Jenkins and Jones as my like front runners of the veteran edition. Amendola is going to be on the team
right.
unless he breaks.
Yeah,
and I think those other two could be on the team, or one of them at very least, if healthy, will be here.
Yeah, of those two, I think Dobson has right now the inside track.
Yeah, because Boyce isn't on the field even yet,
right.
and his role is even a little bit cloudy. You know, is he inside? Is he outside? Is he big play? Whatever.
Right.
I would say Jones and Jenkins have a good chance to make the team. You know, having not really seen much from either of them, but.
Right.
Just
and
theoretically.
They hold, what do you think they'll carry? 5-6 wide receivers this
year? It depends. If you count Slater, it could be 7.
Yeah. I'm not counting him.
Then probably 6.
Okay, 6.
But health plays into that. And
and the other thing that we've seen with Bill is that.
But a lot of tight ends play into it, too.
He's not going to just take 6.
No.
If he doesn't think that they were. Like last year, when he started with really only 4.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you could see that again
Slater.
Because Gronkowski, Hernandez, assuming they're healthy,
right.
then you have Humanawanui,
Ballard,
Fells. I mean, you could have 5 tight ends right there.
Yep.
Right?
And he won't just.
And what happens
if
Zach Sudfeld just lights it up and you, oh my God, we have all these tight
when
ends.
When he looks at a guy like Donald Jones and Michael Jenkins and Lavelle Hawkins, is that his name?
No big V, though.
If he doesn't think all 3 of those guys are worthy of being on the team, he'll let them all go. It's like last year with Gaffney.
Exactly. Last year.
Gaffney, Branch, Stallworth, they all went.
We
now
all
Branch came back.
How are they going to, you know, what are they going to do with all these guys?
Well, they're not.
Right.
Because he went through training camp and he just didn't think that he needed them all.
And then he needed at least 2 of them.
Right. Now, that I could see happening. It'll be a little bit tougher this year because these guys are younger and I think someone will take, you know, somebody. You know, if they let a guy like Donald Jones go, chances are someone would pick him up before you could get him back. Not that he's better than Brandt, but much younger. Someone would take a shot at him, someone who's in need of wide receivers. So I would say five, maybe six, but it, you know, performance is a huge part of it. And I do think if Boyce is on IR, you know, like we talked about, then that you know, shortens you down a little bit too. And, I you know, Andy's five tight end theory, you know, there's a lot of different things that could be in play.
Fred, what's this ESPN Radio enters NFL Sunday afternoon national syndication business? ESPN Radio enters a deal with the Dolphins, Giants, Jets, Patriots, Steelers, games broadcast.
Yes.
So our games could be national on every Sunday afternoon?
They have a deal now. How does it work? They can broadcast.
Maybe you should have gone to that meeting.
Maybe you shouldn't have been taking hacks at Payson Field.
On ESPN Radio, they're allowed to broadcast the games into markets where the game isn't already being broadcast or something.
So a Patriots
like
game could just pop up somewhere on ESPN Radio Minnesota.
The bottom line is they will have their own radio booth at the stadium where they're broadcasting the game live.
For every Patriots game
and these other six teams,
Giants, Jets. Wow, that's weird that it's just a group of teams.
Yeah. I believe so.
That is very strange.
Does it have anything to do with, like, the highest ratings? Like, those teams get the highest ratings no matter who they play kind of thing?
Well, are they all CBS
team? No, Giants. You said Giants. Okay. That's Fox.
Giants are the only NFC.
Okay.
And three of the four AFC East teams are among the, whatever I said, six. Like, Steelers, Patriots, Giants, you can sell me on.
Yeah.
They're, like, marquee franchises who've won the Super Bowl in the last decade or multiple Super Bowls, all of them.
I'm surprised Dallas isn't in there.
Because Dallas probably wouldn't do it or something. Who knows? It's a weird release.
I'll have to read it.
San Francisco?
Yeah, no.
I have heard rumblings of that. I don't know all the details, and it seemed a little confusing.
So there'll be an ESPN radio crew at every game
you do? Yeah, they certainly can't compete with an existing broadcast in a market. I know that for a fact.
Right.
You know, there will never be two stations where you can hear the game.
Right.
You know?
You can only hear Bob Soucy on the Sports Hub.
Right. John writes in, 3,876 time emailer, second time read. We've all heard Patriots had a bad draft in 09, but based on this story below by John Clayton, it was a horrible draft for all teams. Going forward, you should keep this in mind when arguing Belichick's draft record and not bring up how bad that draft class was. That year should be graded with a major curve. Well, the lights just went out in the production studio. I don't know what that means.
That's the light. The lights went out.
Just when I think you couldn't
studio.
Get any dimmer in there.
So I haven't read the story, but John Clayton talked about that draft and how bad it was overall. So that's possible. I mean, I don't know.
I'm sure it was. I mean, if he did
Was that the Clay Matthews draft? Eric,
sorry,
giggling.
Eric reading his phone. Eric Dickerson tweeted about that Bieber thing. I live in Calabasas, too, and at Justin Bieber needs to slow his ass down.
He's pissing off all these Hall of Famers. Well, I guess Keyshawn's not a Hall of Famer. Keyshawn's really changed. Like, to go from just give me the damn ball like badass.
Just slow down.
To like, slow down, you youngster! Right.
Get off my lawn!
Right.
Well, does he have kids? I mean, if
yeah,
have
it
kid,
said one that, of them, he was like bringing his kid home.
And yeah.
Not for everybody.
Rick writes in, Rob Gronkowski will be coming back off successful surgeries for his forearm soon. It'll be some time before he's on the field with other players, but at some point he will be in a position where there is a chance of incidental contact, and ultimately he will be in the practice mix. There are amazing technologies out there, and there is a New England company making major strides in protecting some serious world-class extreme athletes in their sports.
Where are we going here?
Is this the whole thing about...
Is this an ad for a company he works for?
Yeah, I'm going to skip it. So,
pre-reading.
Wow.
Technology is amazing. This is a side shoot on the marathon. Did you see they're going to try to potentially do leg transplants? Double leg transplants?
Really?
Yeah, fascinating. It's like 17-hour surgeries. And
so what do they do, like save people's limbs that have been in car accidents or
something? Yeah, like anything else, a donor. You know, if you somehow your head was blown off, your legs are fine. They cut your legs off. But, like, the idea of all, like, attaching all the arteries, veins, nerves, muscle, like, fascinating.
It's fascinating, but ghoulish.
Yeah.
Well, it's like that horror movie.
Harvesting all this stuff.
Well, there's a movie where the guy's arm, he gets a transplant, but the arm is still evil. It's like a murdering arm, and he can't control his arm.
Well, there's that whole movie Reanimator, and then Reanimator 2, which is disgusting. What?
I've never heard of that. And the fact that you've
I've never
seen
heard
both.
Of that either.
You never saw
you know, Reanimator and Reanimator.
Reanimator is a huge cult film, horror movie.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, wow. You got to see it.
Either of you two ever
no,
heard of it?
Never.
This
never
guy,
heard of
this, you know, he's
three
like,
guys with varied interests have never heard
this
of it.
Guy,
yeah, I wouldn't count me.
He's this doctor who is able. It's like kind of like
movies.
Zombies, but you know, he puts pieces
nothing
together.
That he would watch.
And everything just goes haywire. And there's like people just
Reanimator
limbs
too.
And arms and blood everywhere. Oh, come on. You've never heard? Go look up Reanimator.
I'm sure it exists,
I'll
but
go to
I've
the
never
IMDb
heard of it.
Right now.
And like, my point wasn't Paul would watch that movie, but he listens to like Maddie in the Morning. And if it was this huge cult thing, I would think once upon a time we'd hear somebody talk about Reanimator.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily hold that against
1985.
You.
1985.
It's
an old film.
Oh. Yes. Yeah, but it was.
I was watching.
See, that would actually
they did a remake.
That would actually increase
ago.
The chances of me having heard of it.
I think they did a remake a few years ago.
Trying to see if there's anybody in it that I recognize.
You know,
no,
me.
No.
Last I watched Saving Private Ryan last night.
Oh, I saw that on. Cape Cod Scott wants to know, Andy, if you finished the marathon the other day with everyone.
No, I didn't know anything about that. I don't know how that worked. Either.
Yeah, what?
Andy's quasi bitter.
No. I've kind of changed. There was a part of me that was like, oh, yeah, because now I want to finish it next year. I want the first
want
time.
The real
you could,
one.
Yeah.
You could have
yeah.
done both, though.
No, but it's different. I want to cross the finish line for the first time when I finish the Boston Marathon.
Okay.
You know, you want your first time to be special. You want it to be organic, orgasmic, fluid.
Mo in Vermont says, I have to tell you, I've heard a lot of things
hey,
over
Mo.
The last couple of weeks to email in about, but this one was enough to send in a pre-mail. The thing is, I kind of like this Harrison guy. He's some of those interesting measurables. So before you start ragging on him, just remember you don't know poo-poo.
Fred, according to IMDb, there was Beyond Reanimator and Bride of Reanimator.
Okay.
And then there was Reanimator Academy and Night of the Living Dead 3D Reanimation, starring the same guy, Jeffrey Combs, who was in all of the other
Have
ones.
You seen all these?
I just saw the original.
I thought you saw it, too.
No, I knew of it. I knew of it. I just saw the original.
Bride of Chucky.
So. JD writes in, so you guys have
classic.
Access to the training room tomorrow to deal with the agony you are all going to wake up with.
Unfortunately not.
I was a former college athlete, if lacrosse counts.
Of course it does.
Well, it depends when you played, because Fred thinks if it was a long time ago, anybody could be an All-American.
And remember being disturbingly sore the day after a wiffle ball game at age 27 when I was
still
quite
fit. Oh, my God, 27.
Yeah, so you guys are screwed unless you get some cold tub time. My question is kind of a morbid one about OTAs and injuries. After seeing the Niners lose Crabtree to a non-contact injury last week, outside of Brady and the 10 Patriots players already dealing with injuries, who would be the worst guy for us to lose to a freak OTA injury? For me, it'd be Chandler Jones.
Yep.
I'm beyond pumped to see him play, and after his interview last week, and really think the team has a big things planned for him in year two. Solder would be number two on my list for worst loss because of the implications of being weakened at that position.
Jones is a good answer.
Jones is a very good answer.
I think Solder's a little high on that list. Not because I think Solder is a bad player, but I think offensive lineman. You just plug the next guy in and you can move on. After Chandler Jones.
How about Mayo?
I have a hard time with one of the corners. Really anybody on defense.
Tlaib or Dennard.
Because then that forces
you to take McCourty away from safety probably, move things around in the secondary. It's not just one guy you lose.
OTA kinda... accident other than Brady.
Tlaib. I would go
Tlaib. I guess you could go with defensive players if you want to go. Yeah,
although we played.
Tlaib would be one.
Three quarters of a season without him last year.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. All right.
These guys have come around to my way of thinking. Shouldn't have signed him.
Oh. I came around to your way of thinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted Julius Peppers. I wanted to invest the money elsewhere.
Andy
Fat
was
bodies.
The only one who thought Julius Peppers was talented.
No, Eric's been wanting him for years.
That's true.
Oh, Vic Carucci said he was coming.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's having lunch with Erica Lee.
I guess you guys are right.
Yeah, but the difference is, Vic Carucci is like a legitimate career NFL, written books, radio shows, TV. Erica Lee, we had never heard of until she said, John Abraham's coming.
Right. And he still could be.
That is true.
Good evening, gents. It's evening here in England. Silly question just for fun. If the following people were animals, which would they be and why? Tom Brady.
Lion.
You think a lion?
A lion?
No.
I was thinking more
King.
Like a puma.
No.
No?
Isn't a puma fast?
But they're sleek.
I think you're onto something with the cat aspect, though, but I don't think a lion would be
he's
the
a
one.
Pussy?
King of the jungle.
No, but just because... I was high maintenance,
I meant it as a,
keeps to himself.
Yeah. I meant it as a compliment. He's the king.
Kind of thing, you know?
Like Gerard Mayo. I would think he'd be a lion, hunting down tackles, you know?
Yeah, but lions usually don't do that 5 yards behind the line, down the line of scrimmage.
Wow.
I think I see the lion, because he's the leader, and, you know, that whole thing where they don't always fight, they just kind of, like, swagger up. He's like that.
Right.
I like that. I still haven't gotten past. I want to go back to Brady. I think Brady's
Andy
fascinating.
Hart, laughing hyena.
Panda bear.
Panda bear.
And
Panda
bear. On cue, he laughs.
How about Bill Belichick? What animal would he be? An owl?
What's the most miserable animal on the planet?
Three-toed sloth.
Yeah.
Like a hippopotamus or one of those things. Grumpy.
But you have to have the wise.
Oh, so you have to be wise and grumpy?
Well, I would think, you know. Intelligence would be part of it.
An owl?
Yeah, that's why I said owl, maybe.
Actually, you know what? Andy would be a hippopotamus because I saw plenty of hippos in Africa, and basically all they do all day is they sit in water and they defecate on one another to show who's boss.
Is that right?
I swear, yeah. So that would basically be...
I'll show you.
Yeah, that'd be Andy. Plus they have enormous melons.
Right.
So that would
I'd be a great hippopotamus then.
How about Josh McDaniels?
A jackal.
Jackal?
Okay. Like a fox.
All right. How about Kyle Arrington?
An elephant.
An elephant?
I don't know.
Why an elephant?
I don't know. Big fat guy.
Kyle Arrington?
Kyle Arrington?
Oh, I was thinking Kyle Love. Oh.
No, Kyle Arrington.
That's why we all went, huh?
Oh, Kyle Love. Kyle Arrington would be a red panda.
A red panda.
Because he's so overrated, and people think he's a panda, but he isn't
a
panda.
No, he should be a kung fu panda.
No, because then he'd be a real panda, and that would make him the greatest animal on the planet.
Chandler
but red
Jones.
Pandas, people think are pandas, but they're really not. They're raccoons.
Chandler Jones.
Cheetah.
Cheetah?
No, bigger.
Tremendous athlete on the outside.
Bigger. Like a baboon or something.
Ostrich?
Big. No. What?
I'm talking athletic.
Ostrich is one of the most awkward animals in the world.
They're fast.
Yeah, but they like they look funny. They bury their head in the sand.
Okay, all right. All
no,
right.
He'd be more of like.
I've had enough of this.
A giraffe.
He does
tall,
kind of tall, but they're
moves.
Kind of awkward.
He looks.
Too,
he moves, but he looks slow doing it. You know what I mean? He doesn't
like
look like
balance.
Super quick.
I think
quick.
He's more athletic than that. I'd put him more in the
giraffes are underestimated with their instincts.
Like a big fat, like those gorillas. You think they're just trudging along, and then they get mad and they just f and go and blow through things. Speed, power.
Careful. We already had one profanity dropped on this.
Yeah, show. I won't drop one. I'm a professional.
How about Eric Scalavino?
A meerkat.
It's not bad.
Do they still have that show?
Meerkat Manor?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just pop their heads out of it and look and see what's going on.
I think Brady's the hardest one. I'm still
I think
on Brady.
You're right with the cat aspect.
Yeah, I'm not
though.
Sure it's a cat. Although I see where you're going there. Like you got to be a leader. You got to be smart. Not overly athletic, but good enough. There's a lot to, you know, you're kind of tricky. You're skilled, but you're tricky.
See, he could be a lion. He could be a lion. Now that I'm more by think of it, because the male lion is always on his own, except when he finds a pride, he lets like the women do all the work, like they do the hunting and all that, and then he comes in and reaps the benefits of it, and you know, fits right in with his lifestyle. Now his wife is earning more of the money,
but
and
he's
doing
really
all
badass,
that.
Badass, and lions are kind of badass.
That's the only downside.
He lacks the badass.
He does like
Giselle's new one this morning. I don't know when she said it. Women should embrace their imperfections.
Well, it's easier for her to say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She needs to stop telling people what to do.
I have $8 kajillion, and I'm a world cut, the most famous model of all time. Yeah.
You make $30 million based on
your
looks.
Imperfections.
Yeah,
what a buffoon.
It's one thing when Oprah says that because all she has is money.
Right.
But when you have looks and money, it's tough for women to listen.
And plus, Oprah has a lot of imperfections. She's brought wagonfuls of it onto the stage, and her fat and skinny and fat and skinny.
Exactly.
And... I meant to tell you, Eric.
I think that was Fred's point.
Oh, I didn't get his point then. Eric, did you know there's a fish that if there's not enough, what was it I told you the other day, Paul? The males, if there's not enough females around, the males will turn into females.
What?
I swear to God. I was reading the cards that came in my son's National Geographic for Kids magazine. It's a certain kind of fish. They run out of females, so some of the males will.
Are these the ones in jail or what?
Oh.
I swear to God, look it up.
They undergo operations?
No, it just happens.
Is that on the taxpayer's side?
All
Robin in Alaska says, so body part donors come up and you guys start brainstorming movies and no one says Frankenstein? Well, that's...
We weren't really brainstorming the movies. We
Just brought up one movie, The Reanimator. And Reanimator 2.
It's Beyond Reanimator. Right. And Bride of Reanimator
is
the third one.
No one's ever heard of.
Such a classic that Fred didn't know the name
of it. Going back to an early question, we had child stars who turned out okay. She's got a whole list. Dakota Fanning, Leonardo DiCaprio.
She's still kind of a child, isn't she?
That's two.
Christina Ricci, Neil Patrick Harris,
okay.
Fred Savage, Hilary Duff,
all right.
Alyssa Milano. Who's the boss?
She had her porn stage. And
doesn't mean you turned out bad.
She likes athletes.
Yeah, she's throwing it around a little.
She likes it. Never mind. I like Alyssa Milano. I'm a big fan.
She's got a new show you would like. Did you see that?
If she's in it, I'm sure.
About like, it might be called Mistress or something. Mistresses.
Oh.
And she's one of them. But there's one who's not hot.
There are obviously examples, but I mean, there's a lot more of just terrible stories.
Sure.
And the ones that you don't even know about. Like, you just say, oh, whatever happened to that guy, and then you find out, you know, he's been on, like,
well, most of
row.
Them don't do anything. They end up being, they go to these conventions.
Well, that's why I'm talking about stars. Yeah. Like,
Eddie from the Munsters and Timmy from Lassie.
Yeah, but a lot of those that you say don't do anything, it's because they fell apart when they got to be like 18.
Well, maybe.
They were like in drug rehab and whatnot.
They're not Lindsay Lohan.
No,
that's an extreme case, though.
Well, but there's a lot of those extreme cases.
Yeah. I mean,
two from Different Strokes.
All of them. Gary Coleman, Todd Bridges, and Dana Plato.
And Dana Plato, yeah.
All three of them. Yeah, I mean, they had a hat trick on that show.
Yep.
Train wrecks.
You know, Michael J. Fox, kind of. I mean,
he did great.
As an exception.
Yeah,
he'd be an exception.
He'd be an exception.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He's shaky.
Oh, that is even for you, that's awful.
That's terrible.
Even for you. I wish I hit you a little higher.
But she said Dakota Fanning. She's still kind of a kid, though, isn't she? Like, still a teenager, really? Know.
Plus, I also... Not all these people were stars in my opinion. Like, was Dakota Fanning a
star? Yes.
She made a couple movies.
Well, was really young.
She's probably more famous than Amanda Bynes.
Oh, I don't know. Amanda Bynes was pretty big in that Disney, Nickelodeon, whatever phase.
Dakota
Fanning was
bigger.
In movies.
Yeah. Actual big-time movies.
I just didn't think she was a star.
Wow.
And Drew Barrymore kind of went...
Have gone bad.
She went bad, and then she kind of became good again.
How about the kid that was in the Bruce Willis Ghost movie?
Haley Joel Osment.
He really hasn't done anything.
He hasn't done anything, right. Really.
But I'll bet you if you did some research...
He's done some drugs.
You'll find out why.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't
Macaulay
know.
Macaulay Culkin.
I don't know. I mean,
Macaulay Culkin.
He turned out real bad.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging out with Michael Jackson will do it to anybody.
Well, Corey Feldman, Corey Haim.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of bad ones.
When you have... And it's not just movies. Athletes are the same way. You have, Paul said, young, you have money, and you have free time. You get in trouble. It happens. I guarantee if four of us were young and rich and had free time, half of us would have been in rehab or dead or jail or something. Because you just,
Yeah, Fred and Eric would be in rehab. Andy and I, we don't do that stuff. So we'd be all right.
Beg your pardon?
I'm just saying.
I don't do that stuff.
You're angry.
You have a lot of
what does that have to do with anything?
A man was found in Everett surrounded by Miller beer bottles.
Miller beer bottles.
And that's how they found him.
What does that mean?
Wait, you're a terrible newscaster. He was found, and that's how they found him. You gave one line.
Well, I skipped the whole story, and I went to the end.
Oh, okay. And that's the way
that's
it is.
How that's the way it is.
Let's see. Michael writes in, do you guys think the Patriots' defense will improve enough to make up for their lack of a healthy target on offense?
No.
Mm-mm.
I don't worry about the lack of a healthy target on offense like you guys do. I think there'll be plenty of targets.
You confuse me. Oh, wait, it's the regular season that Brady's fine. He doesn't need targets. It's the postseason where he needs targets and he falls apart and you think he stinks. Is that a good synopsis?
Paul's holding his head right now.
At some point, when the quarterback does it fine through every game and then just can't do it in the playoffs, at some point someone will say, maybe it's the quarterback. It's not going to happen around here, but, maybe someone will say that.
But I'm confused. Are they going to be good next year or not?
Very good.
Okay.
I would say 12 wins minimum.
Minimum? That surprises me.
Why?
I'm not sold they're going to be very good.
I don't think a minimum of 12.
Eric's got him at 8.
No, I don't have him at
8. You and Ferreira.
No, Ferreira had him at 8.
I believe Ferreira said 8-8, and you said, that sounds about right.
And I said that.
Am I mischaracterizing that?
I wasn't there. That's what the story I've heard.
The story I've heard. As I used to say to Andy, the record most often associated with Eric Scalavino.
No.
Is 8-8.
Do you like how
no.
I pronounce that?
Yes, yes.
Is 8-8.
And Andy's was 6-10, right?
No, that was years ago.
Years ago. Yeah.
No. I can't hold
and
that
it
against,
wasn't right.
I can't hold that against Andy anymore. That was 1 year that he said 6-10.
And it was not what I said.
They went like, I don't know, 14-2.
I said, what I said, Paul.
And I never said
when what I said, Paul, when I was told what Ferreira predicted, said, that's not the dumbest thing he's ever said.
Well, well no.
That goes without saying, literally.
That's yeah. all. That's what I said. But I didn't say they were going 8-8.
Yeah, that's
but
really.
If Gronk doesn't play, if Hernandez is on the shelf for most of the season, if you know one of the corners goes down, you know, if Chandler
if
Jones
year two
goes out,
is year two jump flop.
Is a year two flop, then, you know.
Well, funny, talking before the baseball thing, I sent Mike Hakku down to the video Hakku. Department to get a quick lesson on how to use the camera because he was filming it. So we're wait. Paul finally showed up today, and we're, so I said to Chris, I go,
yeah, I was getting some pitching in on the side.
I said, call Mike and let him know that we're ready to go. So instead of just calling him on the phone, he tries
oh, yeah,
to use
that's
Siri.
Right, yeah.
So
he goes, call Mike
call
Hakku.
Mike Hakku, and she goes back, I don't know Mike Hakku.
There's no Mike Hakku in your.
It was funny.
You
it was funny.
Speaking, you guys just jogged my memory. A coworker of ours wanted to throw something out there to our, because you know how we always have experts on everything that can, and you know, maybe Kat's one of them. She has a head games background. A coworker's child has an issue where they like to eat string. And it's become such an issue, and apparently it's like anything, baseball gloves, string on the carpet, pull out, just eat it. Become an issue, though, where it goes through the system and the mother actually had to pull a poo out its butt by a string because it was all compacted in there. And I'm wondering,
why are you looking at me?
If this is a serious issue or not.
I didn't bring this up for the show.
No, this coworker said they wouldn't mind if we brought it up on the show and see if other parents have had issues.
It's obviously one of those
nervous
OCD
tick or something. Yes,
disorders. Yeah,
but it seems like it could be problematic.
Oh yeah,
you get back. I mean, like they tell your dog, if your dog gets backed up, yeah, we're gonna have to cut it open. And
absolutely, that's really dangerous.
And I can't even envision pulling poop out of a boy that's, you know, 8 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
So just any of our crack psychologists.
Narrow it down
yeah,
a little
really,
more.
You know?
What?
Jeez. No, that's, if we have anyone
Cat,
that's an
you
expert
did, you
on
went to a,
eating
you know,
disorder. I mean, they have these shows with people that have all these weird.
Yeah, they like drink gas.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Disgusting.
This woman drinks gasoline and has been doing it for years.
Why?
She's, I don't know. She's.
Like to get, no, I mean to get drunk
no,
off it or high?
No,
or?
She's just effed up. She just is addicted to the taste of it.
Oh,
now he senses himself.
And she just keeps like little bottles of it all over the house or wherever she is.
Oh my
God. She'll never run
disgusting
out of gasoline.
And isn't she, can't be helped.
That's ruining her insides, isn't it?
Yeah, well, so they made her go to a doctor.
In the understatement of the show,
they made her go to
says,
a doctor. Doctor's like, you know, all, they tested her and I guess she's okay now, but he's like, if you keep doing this, you're going to die.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if this is like a simple thing that it's a phase.
That's
or
what kids do.
It's
know
a major thing, like you drink gas and you're 35 years old.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. The gas thing is totally.
You go from eating string to drinking gasoline.
Sure.
I swallowed gas once and it was awful.
How did you do? How did you
I was
gas?
Trying to siphon it and like I must.
Yeah, my friend did that.
Yeah, like you do it and nothing comes out. So then I got to do it really hard this time, and the liquid must have been like really close. So I went in, I ran in, I called like that 1-800 number, and I'm like, I just swallowed gas, what do I do? And the guy's like,
Kevin,
you don't throw
you
up,
ain't got
you're
the Ipecac.
But like the worst part wasn't even the drinking it. Like for hours afterward, you would burp and like gas fumes would come out,
and
it
then,
would taste
then you took a lighter?
So yeah.
And did you get
no,
a lighter?
No, I wasn't in the joke. I, like,
no, wasn't fun.
I wasn't that old. I mean, I was probably 10 or 11,
ooh,
and I'm thinking
what
I could
doing
die.
What are you siphoning gasoline at 10?
No, I don't remember. I think I was mowing a lawn or something, and I ran out of gas, and I had to finish, and I needed gas. I don't know.
God.
But
that's
it was
gross.
It tasted so
bad. Yeah, I had a
bad
friend that did that. He ran out of gas, and he was trying to siphon gas out of his father's car. And he got a little in his mouth.
It's
that's
so
gross.
It is. I can't imagine drinking
but
it.
But this woman literally.
Like bottle out of
not,
it.
Not,
oh, yeah?
And she doesn't, like, guzzle it. She takes little sips of it.
That's still not right.
No, it isn't. Yeah.
That's even worse because, like, now you're actually enjoying, like, you're tasting it.
Exactly.
I could, if you chugged it, at least you're just getting it down.
No.
Ugh.
Yeah, real sick.
And how do you start that?
And there's they had another
probably
woman
a dare, like a
paper
stupid teenage dare. Or something.
Ooh, I like it. But like, you do it once. I did it once, and it's the worst thing I've ever tasted. She did it once and said, "I need more."
Well, maybe she got, you know.
Then she got high.
Yeah, maybe
one
she got high.
Of those, I think
of
she drinks nail polish too, right?
Yeah.
I hear
oh,
that.
Oh, my God.
If you're going to do that, why wouldn't you just do real drugs? Like, because at least then there'd be some payoff, right? Don't real drugs make you feel good?
You can go, this is readily accessible. You can go to any CVS and buy
I'm sure real drugs are readily accessible too.
Well, you know what I mean. It's not against
the law. Not going to get arrested. Right.
No, but I'm going to die either way. I might as well get the high out of it and get a good feeling.
It's, I don't know what feeling they get, but obviously they're getting something out of it, you know?
Attention?
Robert writes in that he's devastated that Andy doesn't know Reanimator. He's very surprised that you've never seen that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
It was 85. And it doesn't sound like it was widely popular.
And the next one was like 2003 or something.
Andy was like 7.
Yeah. I have seen Bride of Chucky and all those, Child's Play.
As far as the sex change in fish, Josh says males become females. Conversions from male to female, known as prodentry, are less common than the reverse switch or protogeny. But they do occur, for example, in the small damsel fish that live under the protection of a stinging anemone. Such colonies have been studied in the Red Sea and Indian Ocean by Hans and Simone Frick.
And Franz.
Of the
what
Max,
the frick are you talking about?
Of the Max Planck Institute in Schwäbischen, West Germany.
I like that.
So how does it happen?
That was a good accent there, Freddie.
It just, you know, a schlong grows. And
oh, for God's sakes.
Can I ask you a serious question?
Oh,
when
that
I was
14.
That wasn't serious?
No, when you get your dog neutered or spayed or whatever, yeah. Does his thing stop popping out all the time?
No, it could still do that. Yeah. Is it shouldn't happen all the time.
Is he going through his teen years? It's been happening a
he
lot.
He is
lately.
Andy's dog.
Well, you've got to stop touching it.
I am not touching anything.
With your mouth.
No, I'm being serious. You as a multi-time dog owner.
It happens on occasion, but if it happens a lot, then you have an active
Andy,
dog.
Andy does the reverse peanut butter trick. That's what he...
Yeah. Oh.
Are the kids doing stuff when you're not around?
I swear to God,
when I was a little kid in New Jersey, our pool club had a dog show. So all the neighborhood
wait,
people.
Wait.
This is a good story.
You just caught that, right? You
the
know,
pool club.
The pool club.
His pool club.
Yes.
When he was a little kid, because that's what all the kids
his
growing
whole
up.
Life.
All the kids growing up in the 60s had pool clubs.
This was before they moved to the Cape
listen,
and played
listen.
Tennis.
I lived in one of those Levitt developments bumps. Where it was a million houses.
I don't know what a Levitt development is.
I never
Levitt
heard that
was the
life.
First guy in New York, New Jersey area that did these communities.
And not surprisingly, you were in on the ground floor.
And it was gated.
No, they weren't gated.
Levittown is.
Well, you let anybody
Levittown was the original. I think it was in Pennsylvania.
Thought it was Long Island.
It might have been.
Whatever. Okay.
So
yeah.
Whatever it was,
Levitt.
It was groundbreaking, and
so
you were part
community,
of it.
It was a Levitt thing. They were affordable homes that a
right.
lot of people from New York
for rich
moved
people.
To. Okay. No, they weren't for anyway. So, so the pool club had this dog show. They decided to have a dog show. So everybody in the neighborhood brings a dog. These people down the street, the Epsteins, had this German short-haired pointer. So the mother's standing in front of the dog. While she's showing off the dog, the two twins are behind tickling its thing. And he's got this rock-hard thing going on. While the mother has no idea what's going on. It was
no.
Everyone's cracking up. It was the funniest thing.
Did he win?
I didn't stay around for the results.
Oh, boy.
It was funny. Mark writes in, do you think Mike Vrabel will end up back here someday as a coach?
No.
Does he want to be an NFL coach or is he happy at Ohio State?
I think he's happy there. I think he loves it.
You don't think he'd want to be an NFL coach?
No.
Nope. I think he
too
loves
much time
it.
Investment.
I think he loves the kids. He loves tweeting his stupid phrase, planting the flag when they go recruiting and putting the Ohio State flag in these counties. And I think he loves it.
That would be my guess too. But yeah, you know, I don't know. But I agree with Andy and Eric. I think that. He's an Ohio State guy. He loved
yep.
Ohio
yep.
State. A lot of these guys like that, they never have that affinity for the pro team that they did in college.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a job.
Some of them even high school.
Yep. Adequip equips.
Let's see. Dwayne writes in, eating string could be bad. I accidentally killed my ex-girlfriend's cat by feeding it a string. It's
whoa. How do you accidentally feed it?
It straightened in the cat's intestines, causing multiple ruptures. The cat had to be put down, although I don't know what it does to a human.
So you intentionally fed it string.
He said he accidentally fed it.
No, he said he accidentally killed it by
yeah.
feeding it.
Yeah.
So he fed it string. You should have known something bad was going to happen when you fed it string.
Unless he was playing, you know.
You didn't word that right then.
Yeah.
Accidentally ate some string.
Robin on Terrace says, even worse than swallowing gas, a few years back I heard a story on the radio about a guy who tried to siphon diesel from an RV and accidentally siphoned from the septic tank.
Oh! We have a winner.
Oh,
that's disgusting.
That is gross.
Yeah.
There's not enough toothpaste in the world.
No. That's even worse than when Felger drank the spit. The tobacco spit.
Burt Breers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike's on the line from California. Hey, Mike, is eating string bad?
Yeah, eating string is really bad. I've got a question. Do you guys think that the Patriots' defense will improve enough to maybe cover a little bit of not having our weapons on offense?
Well, did you just send the email? Because we just had an email just almost exactly.
You have to yell at him. We can talk about it again. Don't yell at him.
I do think the defense will improve. I don't know how much, and I don't know how successful the team will be without that potent offense. I am still anticipating that 30-point-per-game offense. I just think it'll look a little different. It won't be all to Welker. Be all to Amendola now.
If
for three games.
And this is a big if, all right? So I'm starting out by saying that. If the offense is as productive as last year, how much better does the defense need to be? Is the question.
For what? To win a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Of course.
Well, to me, significant.
Yeah. Pretty significant.
Yeah.
Playmaking. They're playmaking. It's the same thing we've talked about. I have a question, though, that goes the other way. What happens if the defense isn't better?
I think you're in trouble.
I think you're in big picture trouble.
Yeah.
Like, if you tell me that, Tlaib's not better with a full season.
What's big picture
Jones
trouble?
And, I mean.
Playoffs.
Everything. I'm not even just talking playoffs. I'm talking for a few years. You traded up with two first-round picks that Chandler Jones himself said it. Usually year two is you're laying the foundation for a good career or, you know, what are you doing, basically? If they don't get better, what does that say about your, like, where are you going? What's happening here? Because we know Brady's going to get worse. At some point, Brady's going downhill from whatever I think he is, from whatever Paul thinks. He's going to take steps back.
Right.
And you've lost some of your consistency. You have other worries on offense. But more importantly, you invested in Tavon Wilson. You invested in Hightower and Joe. Like, what if you're not better?
Oh, no, absolutely. What if they're not better?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Yeah. What if they don't improve, which in turn lifts your unit? Right. Then I think you say, I cut myself. Then I think that's very problematic.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, you're counting on these guys. That's
so it's not even if they have to be better. It's not if they're better, you become X. They have to be better or you're screwed.
And the bottom line is, and I think, Andy, you agree, if Hightower and Jones are better, the defense will be better.
God, yes. I think you can boil it down to if Jones is better, the defense will be better. Yeah. I think an impact edge guy with the hint that he showed you last year and the idea of the potential, your defense will be better if he's better.
And in that case, you know, now, does that cover up if these aren't targets that Brady can depend on? That's a big if, because the production of this offense came through the air, right?
I mean, for the most part, yes.
You know, so
unless you believe the running game is now ready to take that jump from being complementary and circumstantial to
that's a big
they can be a legit factor.
Yeah, that's a big move.
I agree.
You know,
a lot of ifs for this team that just seems to every year roll into the AFC title game.
Well, I think every team's going through that.
Well, no, I mean, a lot of teams don't have the ifs. They say, well, if he's good, then we might be competitive.
I think the Super Bowl champions have a lot of ifs this year.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah.
They've had a lot of turnover.
Yeah. Mike, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, sounds like you're having a little trouble back there. Taking apart your phone while you're talking to us, or what are you doing?
No, I just dropped my phone in the water.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, did that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, do you guys really think Chandler Jones will be your two jump, realistically?
He's going to be better. Yeah.
As long as he stays healthy, you'll be happy with his season.
Yeah, now will he have a J.J. Watt year two jump? I don't know.
Well, he doesn't have to have that.
No, he doesn't.
If he doesn't have a jump is the concern.
Right.
But if he plays a relatively healthy season, he should be better and will be a better all-around player.
Yep.
Yeah, I would be happy if he had some sort of year two jump.
Well, that would be phenomenal. And now you're talking about, okay, the defense has closed the gap on the offense or picked up the slack of the offense, and now you're talking about going back to title games and Super Bowls.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right.
Did he say he dropped his phone in the water?
Something like that. I don't know what he was doing. It's like a lot of
stuff. Yeah, I thought he meant like right this second or like
and it doesn't work right now. Yeah. It's dry, but not totally dry.
Put that in some rice.
They have boxes now you can put them in. Somebody has invented like this little box that if you drop technology in water, you put it in the box and it's supposed to
fix it.
Larry says Levittown was made was for affordable homes for returning veterans after World War II, late 40s, early 50s.
Wait. Yeah,
correct.
So your family was veterans?
No, but he started building homes
for rich people.
No, not rich people. This is a guy
who
lives on 15 acres, just bought a boat, okay?
You know, flies, too.
Yeah.
Do you know the automatic shut-off, though?
Hey, slow down, Bieber.
Doesn't work on boats. You know how I found out that the boat was full of gas when it started pouring all over the ground? You know, you live and learn. I didn't know how big the tank was. I didn't know when to expect it to be full.
Yeah, when you siphon, then.
I don't need to siphon. It was topped off. 60-gallon tank, if anybody was wondering. So, you know, when it's at 60, you should be ready to stop.
Josh in Charlottesville, Virginia, just heard that the Patriots signed another Rutgers player in wide receiver Mark Harrison. Guy's apparently 6'3", 231, ran a 4'6", 40, had a broad jump of over 10 feet, and a vertical jump of over 38 inches.
How do you get her to jump?
This guy seems to be built like a very physical, promising young wideout, but he did trash his room at the combine. What exactly did he do, and do you think this signifies a bigger character concern?
I wasn't there.
Yeah, we don't know exactly what he did.
So,
we don't know poo.
He had an issue.
He also has a broken foot. Combine the
which
issues.
Is why Chicago let him go. He failed his physical.
And which is why he was not on the field when we had OTAs last week. He was with the rehabbing people. But I would say, obviously, the biggest concern is whatever took place in that hotel room, and is that some sort of a
indicator
of character?
Will writes,
but he's from Rutgers, so he's
I wouldn't
salt of the earth, good guy.
I wouldn't worry about the hotel room because obviously they knew about it and they decided to take him anyway. So I don't think that's an issue now.
Will writes that, hey guys, I've noticed you all seem to be ripping.
No, but what if it's an indication of what's coming forward? That's my point. If he's prone to being an a-hole,
then he'll be embraced.
No.
Will says, I notice you guys have been.
What is he talking about over there?
I just don't think I don't think that's a huge deal.
No, but what if he's good?
If he can play, he can play.
No. But what if he's good?
That's what I'm saying. They'll ignore that stuff if he continues.
So if he goes on a Titus Young like spree.
Whoa. Titus Young.
Right.
The guy who got arrested 3 times in a week? Yeah, I mean, that's a little different.
No, but what if that happens?
Yes, I agree with you.
If he goes on a Titus Young spree, he's going to get released. No, but what if he's good? What if the Titus Young spree goes games into a season
he'll
and
be
he
a
has
waste.
65 catches and 8 touchdowns?
And so that would be bad.
So it's bad.
Yeah, he'll go down as a waste.
He will not be embraced.
Titus Young and
Titus Young hasn't done anything overly bad.
Oh, yeah, he has.
He's got a DUI. He's got a breaking and entering or something.
And he came into the league with that stuff and he just continued to do it.
Well, this guy came into the league with some stuff.
One thing.
Maybe.
You don't know.
You're right, I don't know. So one thing, maybe.
We don't know.
Right.
You know, all these guys that, you know, we find out later that they did, you know, X number of things before it even came to the light of day on the X thing.
You don't know like Fred knows Gronk. Come on now.
He's fine. Is Mark Harrison fine?
Can I read Will's email?
I noticed you guys
seem to be ripping on Aaron Dobson a lot.
Not
joking
at all.
About a supposed lack of speed and
not
accusing
at all.
Him of being unable to create any separation whatsoever. This is bothering me a bit because I think it is a totally inaccurate assessment of him. Sure, he's not Chris Johnson or DeSean Jackson or Mike Wallace. No one is saying he is, but I feel like you guys pretend like unless the receiver has 4.240, he's just a slow, useless possession receiver has no hope of ever doing anything for the offense. I've watched some tape on Dobson as well, and while he isn't out running the entire defense on every play and no one would confuse him with a world-class Olympic gold medalist sprinter, he seems very capable of getting behind defenses on the outside, making plays, and even running past a few people. In short, I think he is exactly what this offense needs. He's really tall, pretty fast, has damn good ball skills, possesses great hands, and by all accounts, really smart as well. I fully expect him to burn a few defensive backs while making some great plays for us on the outside. You don't have to run a freaking 4-2 flat to be a deep threat. For crying out loud, Larry Fitzgerald ran a 4.63 and is arguably the best receiver in the NFL and makes plays all over the field. Let's give this guy a chance and see what he can do. His 4.4 is going to play just fine on the field, and if he stays healthy, I think he'll have a great year for us. There you go.
You good?
You got anything?
There's a difference, though, between getting separation and stretching the field.
And to the contrary, I think he has fine speed. Never once questioned his speed. I questioned his ability to get open. That's not the same thing.
So I
think he has all the measurables to be successful. I didn't think he was open very often when I watched him on tape. That's all I said. And I wonder if he is. Listen, when you're running four fours and four fives, that's what the cornerbacks can run too. It's not like you have elite speed and the cornerback is just slower than you every time. You have to be able to run routes and shake guys. And I don't know if he has that ability. Maybe he does. Like Andy said, maybe all the things that the emailer said. My concern with him is not speed. It's not hands. It's not size. Can he get open? And we'll find out.
Dan in London, it has recently come to my attention that the great moments in PFW history have been recycled and overused far too often. Bearing this in mind, I have
an idea
for a great moment segment. It will revolve around Andy's need to over-sexualize everything, and you can title it Always on His Mind. There are tons and tons of clips you can put in the segment over the years.
Including one that he just used about raising his unit.
But here are two from the recent shows. Quote from Andy from last Thursday's show about the baseball competition. I won't be angry when I take it deep. Quote from the Shag Shoot Marry game with no hesitation. Shoot Tom Cruise, bank Clooney, and marry Matt Damon.
As if he'd given it plenty of thought.
I'm sure there are tons of others and will be more soon. I can't believe nobody picked on I won't be angry when I take it deep. It had me stitches. Anyway, keep up the great work. I'm a huge fan, even though this email will probably not be read out by Fred due to it being longer than a children's nursery rhyme. Well, there you go. You're wrong.
Now Fred's
read it out of spite.
I was just reading them to show everybody up. I like it. Andy, you did. You said raise the whole unit. Raise the unit. Believe is what he's talking about
now
in regard to the Patriots defense.
I'm just looking at something because I guess Maurice Jones-Drew has been charged with
battery or something.
Yeah.
Well, that was a
domestic thing or like at a club.
I don't know.
I'm clicking on the link now.
Hey, what happened with the Jets guy?
Knocking out a security guard with one punch.
Yeah, he had the gun charge and OUI and all that stuff.
Who was that?
Mike Goodson.
Goodson from the Jets.
Free agent running back that Jets got arrested like 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Oh.
No.
Some nobody?
Was at a resort.
They didn't think he was a nobody.
He was at a resort in Fort Lauderdale. A security guard told his friend to stop touching a female companion. A scuffle broke out, and apparently Jones-Drew dropped a guy with one punch.
One punch.
It's pretty impressive. If I'm going to get charged with battery, that's what I want. I dropped a security guard with one punch. Yep, you're damn right I did. Be a badass about it.
Maybe he could become a cornerback and play for the Patriots. Add to the felony corners.
Did it get brighter in here?
I was talking to the emailer, the caller that we had earlier in the show.
Cat in Chicago. Yes, it's about eating string. The family with the child who eats string should get him checked by both an internal medicine doctor and a psychologist. Eating string could seriously damage the digestive tract. We aren't built to digest it, and the risk of obstruction is a huge problem. If the bowel is obstructed and loses blood flow, that can be fatal. An internal med doctor could treat any resulting issues like stomach irritation or intestine issues. On the psychological side, obsessive behavior in a child of that age could be signaling much larger problems. Many times an obsessive behavior is an attempt to control or soothe negative feelings, such as feeling out of control or highly stressed, that are a result of another disorder. They should try to find someone who specializes in obsessive behaviors as opposed to kids in particular, since they will have more experience treating and diagnosing these types of issues. If a child's psych therapist is needed for ongoing treatment, they can get a referral for that later on. That's my two cents.
Wow. There's a lot there.
So not good. Eating string, not good. Right?
No. That was my first inclination.
Yeah. Bottom line, eating string, not good.
It's kind of with drinking gas, not good.
Oh, I don't know if it's as bad as eating gas, drinking gas.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Mark says,
"You running out of gas over there, Freddie?"
No, I'm just waiting for you.
It's 1 minute to the end of the show, so
if I don't wait long enough, you guys just talk over the email anyway. So. Mark says, "It's too bad you guys can't act this way in your Thursday night show on Comcast. I know there's a little thing called the FCC, but uncensored, this is gold, Jerry, gold."
Yeah, we wouldn't be on long.
Yeah, not
and I'm
sure.
Not sure it would be appropriate for a sports station.
Not sure it would really
Why
be.
Why not?
We'd be more of like a, I don't know, I
you,
guess,
you
what's his name?
Put this on at 11 o'clock. We can say the SH word.
You can say that?
Well,
technically
you can swear on cable stations.
Yeah.
Now, it's against
me.
Comcast's.
Now,
what was that?
What are you doing?
You just told me I could.
Oh, come on.
I didn't say. I said on cable stations.
We're less than cable.
No.
No, you can't.
I'm just saying,
like
technically, the rules are.
I apologize for
you can swear on cable. Now, Comcast prohibits that language on on its station. That's like you hear
that
on.
That makes no sense.
On FX, once in a while, you hear swears.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That you don't hear on regular networks.
Yeah, you get a lot of swears.
Because it's a cable station.
But after 10, right, or something?
Well, I don't know what all this. But it's up to the individual station.
It's archaic.
It is archaic. It's you can't just speak.
Cable now. Everybody has. I mean, some large percentage of the population. So every kid in America can
has
flick
access.
On the TV and watch it. It's not the old days where only certain people, like HBO was extra.
You can't put parental control on individual stations.
I know, but to try to differentiate between cable, which is, you know, channel number 30, and real TV, which is channel number 7, they're the same. It's the kid turning on them and pressing, you know, there's no difference.
No. But, you know, if the station's policy is not till after 10, your kid shouldn't be watching TV after 10 anyway.
Well, I mean, that's part of it. We're not talking about.
Yeah, but there's also bad shows on everything. Nickelodeon and SpongeBob Pushes the Envelope. They got another one now that's a little
SpongeBob
weird.
SpongeBob Pushes the Envelope?
Oh, yeah, they're a little naughty.
And we're humor. Just contributing to the demise of the U.S. civilization.
No, but we're not intended for youth. We're not intended for, you know, what do we say? We're for mature audiences.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this
immature
show.
But yeah,
now, we have access.
Immature, mature audience.
We have access tomorrow.
Mañana.
Right?
Thursday.
Thursday.
A lot of stuff on. A
lot of stuff about
tomorrow.
Players not wearing jersey numbers.
On Thursdays, do we have access on Thursdays?
No.
Okay, so the show will be on at noon on Thursday.
We'll give you a little rundown.
We'll see you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.